choosetosave.org. Plan today and choose to save.
That's choosetosave.org.
Jen McAllister, I'm from Edison, and I'm on the mic. The mic.
Streaming online at themic921.com, WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. A tense moment at Boston's Logan Airport. A Midwest Airlines jet has just made a safe emergency landing there. The plane carrying 81 passengers had started experiencing landing gear problems shortly after takeoff. Important evidence is found in Monday's crash of a seaplane off of Miami Beach. Acting National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Mark Rosenker says a vital portion of the aircraft has been recovered.
The right wing of the aircraft was recovered and placed on the salvage barge. Came up with the engine and propeller attached.
Rosenker says the wing apparently broke off prior to the crash. All 20 people on board were killed. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says the New York City transit strike has made getting in and out of the Big Apple very difficult.
So far, our contingency plan is working, although we may adjust elements of it as the situation dictates.
Bloomberg says there will be no new talks until the strike is halted. A state Supreme Court judge Tuesday ruled the work stoppage is illegal and imposed a $1 million daily fine on the union. Republicans and Democrats find themselves locked in an extremely close battle over a bill to cut government spending. New York Senator Hillary Clinton argues the budget measure doesn't do what it advertises.
This bill doesn't reduce the deficit at all. In fact, it worsens the deficit outlook by at least $30 billion.
Vice President Cheney is headed home from an overseas trip in case he needs to cast the tie-breaking vote on the spending bill. Three people, including a six-year-old girl, are hurt in a shooting at a New Mexico Walmart. This store worker heard it all.
As I was going to my door, I heard bang, bang.
Two suspects have been arrested. Police are also looking for a person of interest whom they say may have witnessed the shooting. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Hi, this is Al Franken. I've been proud to support the USO for years, and I'm away on my third USO tour right now. And a lot of you have asked what you can do to help. Please support the USO's Operation Phone Home, providing prepaid international calling cards to members of our forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. Call 1-800-USO-7469. Thank you.
This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Okay, so you've been hearing a lot about the environment and greenhouse gases, and you're conflicted because you know it's important, but what can you do? The EPA urges you to be part of the solution with Energy Star. The fact is, your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car. It's true, but by using an Energy Star qualified programmable thermostat, you're taking an important first step to heat and cool your home more efficiently, and that helps the environment. Discover more steps you can take to reduce air pollution from your home and car at EnergyStar.gov, and you'll feel good knowing you're making a difference.
National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley isn't surprised that Iraqi politics stand divided along sectarian lines. However, Hadley tells the Center for Strategic and International Studies he's confident Iraq will ultimately be unified.
The judgment we've made, and I think it is proving out, that this country will decide that it is Iraqi first.
Hadley also cautions against Iran, calling the nation a major supporter of terror. Saddam Hussein is expected to be in court when his trial resumes on Wednesday. The former Iraqi leader boycotted the last session of the proceedings. Prosecutors say they'll have a surprise part of their case, but won't elaborate. November saw a rise in new home construction. Dave Siders of the National Association of Home Builders says it caps off a great year.
This year is, you know, approaching the end, easily a record for the single-family market, almost a record for total housing starts as well.
Housing starts were up 5.2%. This is CNN Radio. CNN's Dave Kirshner reports there's a new study revealing some disturbing findings about the water we drink.
There are huge amounts of unregulated chemicals in our tap water, not just in one area of the country, but everywhere. The Environmental Working Group based in Washington reports no area of the United States has really clean drinking water. Jane Houlihan is research director with the group.
Of the 260 chemicals we found in the country's tap water, More than half have no safety standard. They're completely unregulated.
Houlihan says even bottled water has problems.
Even buying bottled water isn't a solution. It's not necessarily any safer.
Dave Kirshner, CNN.
Many American teens crash and burn on an 8-minute treadmill test. Northwestern University researchers say a third of the girls and boys between ages 12 and 19 who were tested showed a poor level of fitness. I'm Matt Cherry. This is CNN Radio.
It's the Pro Show.
On Tuesday's Pro Show, we found out that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. If you're a peace activist in Madison, you're most likely on a list in Washington. Stoughton activist Buzz Davis joins Wednesday's Pro Show, and you know the government's watching this guy. Madison Alderman Austin King will talk about the mandatory sick leave proposal, and Darcy Haber from Wisconsin Citizen Action gets us involved in solutions.
The Pro Show with Lee Rayburn and Jim Dick. Mornings at 6 on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
Eating 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables a day is important, but it's sometimes easier said than done with children. A serving of 100% white grape juice is a healthy, convenient way for young children to get one of those 5 servings. And introducing 100% juice in the daycare and elementary school years is a great way to establish a lifelong pattern of healthy eating. A message from the Produce for Better Health Foundation and Welch's.
Mike Malloy, a humble and obedient servant of the truth, on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike, 92.1.
It's Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike for another couple of days. Mike doing earlier duty for Randy Rhodes. Tom Hartman just broadcasting for the majority report, so there must be some little phrase here. Mike, then Tom, then me. Wow. You can go to the Tom Hartman chat room, by the way. Go to tomhartman.com, click on live chat, and you can join the chat room. People are discussing all the shows here on Air America. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. That is our email address here. And well, I shouldn't say here. That makes you think it's like at Air America headquarters in New York. Actually, it's coming to me in Detroit, Michigan, so where I'm broadcasting from. So join us, please. I don't even know where to start. I thought the big story all week would be, you know, support our oops, you know, the speech that Bush gave on Sunday. Essentially, that's what it was, right? Support our oops. Well, I guess there were no weapons of mass destruction, but since we're there, we'll do our own mass destruction and install democracy while we're at it, and an ally in our war on terror, right? But suddenly, what's afoot is all sorts of unconstitutional, illegal wiretap, surveillance, and the kind of counter-espionage that we associated with the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover in the 1960s and back to World War I and what have you. There's class war in New York City, but for once, our side, the middle class and the working class, initiated it. I don't know how it's going to go, and one for Scopes. I don't mean the mouthwash either, but remember the Scopes trial? Well, they threw the monkeys out of the school, didn't they? But not quite in the way that normally is meant. And I stole this. I may even start every show with this. I stole this from one of our callers. They spied, they lied, they need to be tried. Where are the bumper stickers? Isn't there one already made? Joining us at 30 minutes after the hour will be Pulitzer Prize winning reporter Peter Arnett. Remember Peter Arnett from CNN? He got fired for saying it looked like the United States wasn't going to prevail in the invasion of Iraq this time around in the way they intended. He was immediately hired by an English paper. We'll talk to him about that. Speaking of support our oops, I was thinking about You know, most people on the left are saying this can't be won, that wars of insurgencies take 6 to 10 years, that it's costing hundreds of billions of dollars. All of this is true. That actually the whole population, no matter where they stand on what side of things, what religion they are, would all like us to get the hell out. And the only people that want us in for a so-called victory is Bushco. And they, you know, they keep saying, well, on one hand, they're saying support our OOPS. On the other hand, they continually talk about withdrawing troops, because I can't discern, actually. I mean, we can make a lot of speculation, but I can't discern where they are coming from. Obviously, the Shiites are going to be allied towards Iran. So what's that going to do for policy in the long run? Or maybe Bushco has nothing but low contempt for the majority of us, and they have the most contempt for the people that swallow their BS. You gotta, because if you're BSing somebody, who do you have more contempt for? The people that believe you, or the people that saying, hey, you're just making this up? I mean, you know those people can figure you out. You know those people aren't buying your encyclopedias. Now, I don't know why the United States isn't winning. I was just looking at some figures. This was an article in the Brattleboro Reformer newspaper, their daily newspaper up in Vermont. So the war in Iraq is estimated to cost about $200 million a day. I mean, $200 million a day spent by the greatest military power on earth, and the extent of the U.S. political, military, economic, reconstructive, oil, everything apparatus. And still, we got barefoot guys in Kalashnikovs making hell out of the country, along with the U.S. I mean, you ever occur to you that if the U.S. stopped fighting, stopped attacking, said, hey, we're going back to our positions, we're going to withdraw real soon, we got rid of this horrible dictator that we supported for so long, but don't attack us, we won't attack you. Don't you think all of a sudden a lot of this would end? I suspect so. So how many days? On December 13th, the war went on for 1,000 days. 2,200 Americans killed, 16,000 wounded. So near 20,000 official casualties. But there are some figures that show there's almost one in five for the people that have served over there, if you take into account all of what the soldiers, United States soldiers, suffer. How many Iraqis? Well, you know what Bush said. 30,000 more or less. Well, it could be about 100,000. And we keep hearing the figure that this war is going to cost $250 billion. I mean, I'm sorry, that's what it's already cost. pardon me. The Congressional Budget Office says that the Iraq and Afghanistan wars have already cost taxpayers $314 billion. And projects that additional expenses of perhaps another $450 billion over the next 10 years. So we're talking $750 billion for our, you know, to support our OOPS. Let's go right to the phones. Let's see. Let's go to, pardon me, Sandy in Boston. Sandy.
I was listening to Tom Hartman on the previous show, and
sure.
And he told about how some explosives that would be used only for letter bombs had just been stolen from a lab in, I think it was Arizona or New Mexico.
I heard him say that. I didn't know exactly the story. I knew that there was some explosives stolen.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he did connect it with letter bombs, and he said it was the kind that would be used to release anthrax, and all of a sudden, I clicked into, oh my God, could this have anything to do with, on Saturday, this past Saturday, two Iraqi scientists were released.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Germ and Mrs. Anthrax.
Yeah.
And people are saying, you know, with no charges against them, they've been held for 2.5 years, and they were considered to be high-value threats. In fact, one of them had been the one on that infamous pack of cards. She was, they're both women.
But wait a minute, Sandy. Are you going to the point where maybe this is all connected?
I'm questioning that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a stretch.
Well,
I mean, why?
I mean, I hope, but you know what?
What?
If I was Harry Reid or any of the other people that, as Tom pointed out, you know, the two strategic people in the last Patriot Act thing were the only two to receive the letter bomb, letter threats, or anthrax, whatever
yeah.
you call them.
Well, it was all Democrats and the press, right?
It was all Democrats and the press that received the letter bomb. Daschle and who was the other one?
I don't remember exactly, but yeah, it was Democrats and the press.
But they were the two people that
yeah.
stood in the way of the passage of the
Hey, it passed 98-1. I mean, I don't think that they had to do that in order to get it passed. All right, Sandy, thank you very much. Appreciate
right.
your call. Let's go to Jim in San Francisco. He thinks the Democrats are disappointing. Do you think, Jim?
Yeah. Hi, Peter. Listen,
Hi.
I really enjoy it when you sit in. And, you know, I noticed that you have that that healthy skepticism of the Democrats, which I share with you. And, you know, I'm out here in San Francisco, and we have a pretty strong Green Party. And what we've developed is a way of voting so you end the spoiler effect, you know, where you have to vote
oh, yeah.
for the lesser of two evils. And it's called instant runoff voting. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I know a lot of the listeners probably aren't.
I believe there's a suburb of Detroit where I live, Ferndale, that actually passed that. But explain what it is and how it works. But I think
sure.
if we may come to a break, and I'll hold you over. But go ahead, start.
Yeah. The way it works is that instead of just voting for one person, say for a congressional race or a presidential race, you could vote for three or even more, depending on the software. Now, what this makes possible is for you to vote for who you really want for your first choice.
Uh-huh.
And then you could vote for your second choice, could be, you know, somebody you could live with, and your third choice, you know, might end up being the kind of DLC Democrat that at least prevents the Republican from getting elected.
Okay.
But now we have a whole different ballgame. Now we have a paper trail, a record of who people really wanted. Now the discussion in the country really changes, because a lot of people who think they're alone and isolated and wanting health insurance for everybody and, you know, stopping wars and using negotiation instead of killing people.
All right, Jim, hold on. As they say in talk radio, hold that thought. We'll be right back to get the conclusion of how instant runoff voting works. Peter Werby with you on the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270. We'll be right back after these.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Stripping away the right-wing rhetoric, Madison's progressive talk, The Mike, 92.1.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
Coming up Wednesday on the Ed Schultz Show, we're in day two of the New York transit strike. What does this mean for unions across America? Is this a wake-up call? And there are rumblings on Capitol Hill on impeachment. Is there support from average Americans? Where does the president stand in the polls? Also, the battle continues over Anwar. Who are going to be the winners and the losers as the debate continues?
Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike, 92.1.
This sent to us by Margaret from Madison, one of our new listener cub reporters. Sauerkraut may be a weapon against bird flu.
Oh.
I got my mom's Polack sauerkraut recipe. It's delicious.
I know. I remember the last time you brought it in for us.
Yeah, you said it was burned.
It burned.
Oh, you're such an ungrateful bastard.
I don't know how you can burn sauerkraut.
I can do it.
Okay.
very accomplished chef. Anyway, while President Bush scrambles to ward off an avian flu pandemic, the world's largest sauerkraut producer, tucked amid the glacial lake beds of rural Wisconsin, is sitting atop a bumper crop of one possible preventative. An international buzz is surrounding the unassuming fermented cruciferous vegetable that costs 89 cents for a 14-ounce can. Scientists at Seoul National University in South Korea fed an extract of kimchi, a spicy Korean variant of sauerkraut, 13 chickens infected with the avian flu, and a week later, 11 of the birds started to recover. Oh. It's a miracle. They're calling it a superfood. Unlike the government, we've got preventative and 115,000 tons of it in Wisconsin alone, said Ryan Downs, owner and general manager of Great Lakes Kraut Company. This is very exciting, and not surprisingly, Kim Jong-il had a comment on it.
Oh, so the whole world worry about bird flu. Scary, scary bird flu. I told you, we got kimchi bomb. Kimchi to cure for bird flu, and we got a boatload. Hey, maybe if you're nice to us, we sell you some to you. For $1 million a can. Ha ha.
Hold on there, short stuff.
James, send some, Brenna. What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm devious that way. We don't need your stinky cabbage. Wisconsin is the world's largest producer of sauerkraut. We've got 115,000 tons of it. Take that, Tiny.
Oh, James, Sansa, Brandon, you make me so mad. You can stuff your sauerkraut in your Lederhosen, kraut boy. Go, Tenta Polka, you schnitzel-eating person of German descent. Come out.
Oh, my God. Okay.
We apologize to everyone. That's all for stand-up news. Yeah. I'm your only time.
The people from Wisconsin and the North Koreans.
And James Sensenbrenner, makers of sauerkraut, makers of kimchi.
Just everybody. Everybody in the world we apologize to.
Jim, exactly how much is a boat road? How much is it a lot? How many ounces is a boat road?
Metric or...
You're on the mic, 92.1.
This is Angela, and I'm so happy to have 92.1 in Madison.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the mic, 92.1.
Air America Radio News.
This is the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike, 866-303-2270. Now, we're talking with, are we? Where'd he go? We were talking with Jim in San Francisco, was talking about instant runoff voting, and it's a process where you can vote for your first choice first. Someone else call in and explain it to me. I've had it explained, but what you can do is you can vote for who you want first. Like, my first choice was not John Kerry in the 2004 elections, and I pretty much held my nose and voted for him to stop the horrible Bushko from stealing. Well, I mean, they stole another election anyway, so, I mean, to that extent, it probably didn't matter. But I would have liked to have voted for someone else first. But what happens then? Your vote is transferred. If your first choice is out of it, out of the top two, it gets eliminated. It's my understanding. All right, class warfare in New York City, the transit strike. Essentially, what the transit workers are doing is carrying the heavy load for all of us as American wages and pensions and benefits and everything else, unionism in many cases, is under attack, and there's a massive race to the bottom. A lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute, these guys are pretty well paid. They only want them to pay at like 1% of their income for their medical, but these are pay cuts. These are, there's also a whole thing about discipline and how they're dealt with, but the pensions are going to be different for new hires, and it creates this two-tier. This is another trick of management, to have two-tier among employees. So you have sort of the privileged employees, and then you have the less ones, the ones that have lesser benefits, and that creates tension, particularly if you have unions. That is tension within the unions, I think you can understand how that goes. I don't think, I suspect they're not going to do well. Public opinion is not, I don't think, on their side. Tell me if I'm wrong. State judge has imposed $1 million a day fine on the union, and they're considering $1,000 fines against each member of the leadership. Mayor Bloomberg, the billionaire, decried the strike as thuggish and selfish. Let's go back to our phones here and get Barbara in Arizona. Barbara, hi, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us.
Right. It's about 75 degrees here today.
Well, I think it's only going down to 14 today in Detroit.
Oh, well, it's beautiful. We're going to have 75 for Christmas here.
But what I
wanted to call about is pretty much what you were talking about yesterday, but I couldn't get through. And the thing that seems to be in my mind is that what we're not looking at is who owns our debt. And the connection between Paul Wellstone's death and China, from the day I remember watching it on CNN, and the same day that Paul Wellstone's plane was dropped out of the sky, now you have to understand that Paul Wellstone was about to make a speech that night condemning China for human rights abuses, and he was strong on the fact that China was abusing human rights. And he was putting forth the speech that he was going to give along with his wife, it was her pet project, to remove China from our most favored nation status.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, at that exact moment and time, exactly when his plane was reported as missing, the Chinese premier at the time was stepping out of his limo in the into the Texas White House.
Really?
Yes. And they had it juxtaposed on the screen on CNN.
Well, you know what this all actually, in many ways, tells me? That
October 25th, 2002.
There's two things. One, it's true that there is this massive conspiracy. Or the second thing is if it's not true, but still, we Americans believe that our government will do the most evil, vile, conspiratorial, anti-democratic things imaginable. So,
President Jane Zimin, the new one, visited President Bush at his Texas ranch. They agreed to work together to solve the crisis created by North Korea, quote unquote. Now let's go back to the third point. Now, in 2005, 2006, our debt, which is unheard of, the unheard of debt of our nation, is owned
by China,
Japan, and Saudi Arabia. So, and he just went in November over to China. And what did he go for instructions? He's the Manchurian candidate.
All right. Thank you very much, Cheryl. I want to get, before our break, I want to get Andre from New York City on. Andre, hey, it's Peter Werbe. You're on the air. Go ahead quick. Andre, are you with me?
Yes. Hey, Peter. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that I'm on the side of the union. I hate to hear the mayor try to put the New York City population against the union and saying it was selfish and despicable. I think that's not true. My wife is pregnant, and she's got to go to work as well as I do. I've been walking and taking cabs and sharing cabs with people, and I don't mind at all just because I know what they're trying to do is weaken the union and do just more harm to the workforce of this city and this country as they have already done.
Yeah, you know, I watched ABC News, and most of it was just showing cancer patients that couldn't get to their appointments because of the strike. I mean, that was the type of coverage.
It's just ridiculous to hear Governor Pataki say, well, what they're doing is not only bad, you know, selfish, but it's also putting us in an unsafe situation.
Yeah, Andre, I'm out of time, unfortunately. We're going to be right back. Peter Arnett, who worked with CNN, Pulitzer Prize winner, he's going to be talking about his essay and his new book. We'll be right back on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Hi, this is Al Franken wishing you happy holidays from all of us at Air America Radio.
This is Sally Field for Save the Children. We've all seen the devastation the hurricanes have wrought. Now imagine how we can make it better. Imagine all the children from the hurricanes feeling safe again.
Imagine all the children back with their families again.
Imagine all the children going to school again.
Please help us create lasting change for children here at home and around the world. Call 1-800-SAVE-THE-CHILDREN or visit savethechildren.org.
Imagine we can save the children.
Imagine.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
You're telling this committee you didn't know your statements were false.
No, Senator, I did not.
You're under oath?
I know that.
Well, look right here in the Nation magazine. All that claptrap was debunked.
I don't read the Nation.
Nobody told you about it?
Nobody in the White House reads the Nation.
Well, maybe they should. I think the American people assume these decisions you make are based on fact.
That's not the way we operate.
I am getting you guys the Nation.
Don't waste your money.
No, it doesn't take money. A four-week mini subscription is free.
I don't want a four-week mini subscription free.
You'd rather remain in ignorance?
I'd rather remain in my job.
You're saying they fire you for reading the Nation.
Not for reading it, Senator. Just for being seen with it.
Go to readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863 and accept our free mini subscription. That's readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863.
Madison's Progressives are on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now download off our website at progressive.org. Bush has just gone way over the line when the New York Times revealed on December 16th, after sitting on the story for a year, that Bush ordered the NSA to monitor the international telephone calls and email messages of hundreds, perhaps thousands of people inside the U.S. without warrants. I expected Bush to deny it or to say he was going to review the policy. Instead, he's vehemently defending that policy, citing his power as commander-in-chief and Congress's authorization to go after al-Qaeda. He did so in his radio address on Saturday and then in his press conference on Monday. But these were the very same rationales that the Bush administration put forward last year at the Supreme Court in the case of Yasser Hamdi, one of the U.S. citizens Bush detained without charge or trial. The Supreme Court, in an opinion by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, didn't buy those arguments at all. Wrote O'Connor, a state of war is not a blank check for the president when it comes to the rights of the nation's citizens. Richard Nixon was impeached, in part, for such power grabs. One of the three articles of impeachment that came out of the House Judiciary Committee back in 1974 said that Nixon repeatedly engaged in conduct violating the constitutional rights of citizens. Now, if you replace Nixon's name with Bush's, the article still stands. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Hi, this is Al Franken. I've been proud to support the USO for years, and I'm away on my third USO tour right now. And a lot of you have asked what you can do to help. Please support the USO's Operation Phone Home, providing prepaid international calling cards to members of our forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. Call 1-800-USO-7469. Thank you.
This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Ring of Fire presents a fond look at the era of Chief Justice William Rehnquist. Back when we'd take our case to the lowest court in the land. January 2003, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia goes duck hunting with Vice President Dick Cheney. Just 3 weeks earlier, the court said it would hear an appeal from the Vice President. Cheney apparently didn't want plaintiffs to see how groups such as Enron influenced his energy task force.
I just hope no one thinks this duck hunt will influence how you rule on my case.
Don't worry, Mr. President. If a duck hunt can buy a Supreme Court justice vote, the nation is in deeper trouble than I had imagined.
Yeah. Say, have I ever told you you have pretty eyes?
I beg your pardon?
Oop, there goes a mallard. Damn, missed him.
Did you say something before you saw the duck?
Just that your eyes are alluring. Is it so wrong for one man to make another man aware of his attractive features?
No, I mean, if a homosexual overture can buy a Supreme Court justice vote, The nation is in deeper trouble than I had imagined.
Oh, God, your lips are magnificent.
A year and a half later, the Supreme Court gave Cheney most of what he wanted, though it sent the case back to a lower court. But Scalia joined a dissent by Justice Clarence Thomas, saying the case should have been resolved even more in Cheney's favor. It should have been thrown out.
Clarence, do you think I have pretty eyes?
I never really thought about it. Your ass is hot, though.
And that's what happened in January 2003 when the case reached the lowest court in the land.
Madison, you're on the mic.
The reason I enjoy this station, it finally gives us a real viewpoint that looks to the future instead of looking to the past.
The Mic, 92.1.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Molloy Show.
Thank you, Mike. Peter Werby here in Detroit, and joining us is Peter Arnett. Peter Arnett, the famous CNN battlefield reporter who covered the first Persian Gulf War, who won a Pulitzer Prize for his coverage of the Vietnam War. He's the author of Live from the Battlefield, and there's a new book out in which he has a very, very interesting essay called It's Mine, The Whole Goddamn Story Is Mine. Peter Arnett, welcome to the Mike Molloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Yeah, Peter, pleased to be with you.
Yeah, hey, you know, what did I do? I lost Oh, here it is. Yeah, Christina Borgeson. And the name of the book is Feet to the Fire, Media Since 9/11.
Actually, right. What that was, Peter, was a very long interview she had with me plus some other journalists. And it was really about the state of journalism since 9/11.
You got the same cough I do.
Indeed. Winter's here.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take turns coughing. Hey, on March 31st, 2003, you were dismissed from CNN for saying that the first war plan in Iraq has failed because of Iraqi resistance. Now they're trying to write another war plan. Clearly, the American war planners misjudged the determination of the Iraqi forces. When you look back on that statement, it's like history has rather confirmed what you said.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, I was with NBC at the time, so they stopped using me. But you're absolutely right. At that point in time, 10 days into the war, the main resistance to the U.S. were the Saddam's guerrilla forces, called the Saddam Fedayeen, basically, and they were the Ba'athist Party irregulars, essentially Ba'athist Party people with AK-47s and not much else. The regular Iraqi army just left. They didn't even fight. So the resistance was from the same kind of people who later launched the insurgency. The other part of the interview, I simply said that, you know, civilian casualties, they have to be very careful about inflicting them, because civilian casualties will just lead to further discontent and difficulties. And so both of those predictions came right. But the interesting thing, Peter, I made them at the wrong time. 10 days into the war, patriotic fervor throughout the country, I was an easy target of Fox News and the conservative talk show hosts.
Yeah, and National Geographic as well, because you were reporting for both them and NBC. But the Daily Mirror in London picked you right up.
They did, and I wrote a lot of stuff for them, plus a lot of other European and Asian organizations. I was really busier in the two or three months after the war that I'd been up to that time. But, you know, that also reflected on the general discontent and unhappiness about the U.S. action and having a preemptive war in Iraq at a time when, you know, most of the world didn't seem to think it was necessary.
Now, you've been an eyewitness to major battles between American forces and the North Vietnamese Army and in Iraq, and people keep making these comparisons between Vietnam and Iraq. Is it an apt comparison, or is it apples and oranges?
Some aspects are quite apt. I mean, this going back to the Vietnam War, the Nixon administration figured a way to get out of Vietnam with holding honor was to bring in what they call Vietnamization, handing off the war to the Vietnamese. And essentially, that is what the U.S. is hoping to do in Iraq. It'll be just as difficult in Iraq as in Vietnam. Of course, the overall world picture is different. And, you know, it was the height of the Cold War that Vietnam was being fought. The North Vietnamese government had the support of the Soviet Union and Russia. you know, and it was basically the stakes. It was a nationalist struggle with a clearly defined enemy. Ho Chi Minh and the North Vietnamese claimed to be nationalists. They were recognized by part of the world. And the end of the war was very clean. When the U.S. left, the South Vietnamese were defeated, and then we went on to establish a new country, which the U.S. now recognizes. It will not be such a clear-cut resolution in Iraq. Even if the U.S. was to walk away, or even if it was to succeed, it won't be as clear-cut a decision as was in Vietnam, because it's certainly different political factors come into play.
Mm-hmm. Peter Arnett, you're one of the deans of the war correspondents, and there must be a difference of the feeling and the risk taken when you're younger and as you age. Can you, just kind of looking back over the decades, how does it feel on one hand, you know, the 40 years ago and just not so many years ago that you're there when the bullets are flying?
Well, that's a pretty good question. It's many of my friends have asked me that over the years. Of course, with improved technology, you just don't have to move around as much as you had to. Like in Vietnam, you would go out with the troops, and you had as much trouble getting your story back home, writing it and sending it back home, getting back to headquarters, you know, Saigon to send it, as it was gathering the information. Today, I mean, you go with a, you know, correspondence TV, go out with video phones, which they just make a phone call from the battlefield and just talk into the camera and then show their video, and they can do it instantaneously. That means that a lot of the legwork is no longer necessary. And it's just physically, it is less difficult to do it today than it used to be. There's less slogging. Wars are different. On the other hand, the danger is real, and you could just likely be a casualty, so that aspect hasn't changed. I think what keeps me going over the years is I've just believed that, you know, covering wars and crises are really essential, because they are the most dramatic, controversial decisions our government or any other government makes. And I just wanted to be there where these decisions are made, to see how they're implemented, see how effective it is, and try to get some kind of accountability.
Mm-hmm. At 70 years old, would you go back into a shooting war again if you were assigned?
Well, I spend half my time in Iraq now. I have a house in the Karada district. I'm writing a book on the what Saddam and his sons were doing when they weren't making WMDs and working with Al-Qaeda, sort of the state of Iraq before the U.S. invaded. And already, you know, some magazines have published part of the book, some of the chapters. But I go back there. I don't actively go out with U.S. forces. I am accredited. I go to some of the press conferences. But I don't actively go with them. But I'm living, you know, I live between the Palestine Hotel and the Hamra, both of which were attacked recently
sure.
by car bombers. But so I'm still active in that sense.
Well, is there, you were talking about wanting to be a witness to history and the importance of it, and that's why we admire people like yourself so much, because you're right there telling us what's happening. But I remember when I interviewed Chris Hedges, when he talked about it, he said a lot of it was for the juice. A lot of it was for, to have a life that wasn't sedentary, that wasn't watching events, but being involved and directly there were the most dangerous and exciting events of an era. Do you find that as well?
Well, of course, the juice is important. It is exciting to witness dramatic things that are going on. In my career in the last decade, early in 1991, during the first Gulf War, I interviewed Saddam Hussein, you know, during that war, and he was hiding out in a small house in the northern part of Baghdad. And then in 1997, when I was with CNN, I went to interview Osama bin Laden in his mountain lair in Afghanistan. I mean, if you're with mainstream news organizations, you get incredible access to the high and mighty on both sides of the spectrum. And it's interesting to evaluate them eye to eye and to communicate what they're saying. But I think what keeps me going as much as anything is that I think that, you know, someone should be out there being the eyewitness. Now, there are all the local peoples. I mean, some have asked me, well, how can you stay in Baghdad? It's so dangerous. But there are 5 million Iraqis living, for example, in Baghdad. They can't go anywhere. They're stuck there. So when I'm there, it's 5 million and one. And I'm simply sharing the danger of all these other people, so I don't think I'm very much of an exception, and I could say that for Vietnam or Bosnia or any of the other wars I've covered.
Peter Arnett is our guest on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here sitting in for Mike. You have so many connections as someone who's been in the business so long. We hear conflicting reports about Osama bin Laden. Some people say that he's long dead. Anything come your way on that question?
I've read the reports, but I assure you I have no longer any personal contacts with Osama bin Laden, and I want the NSA to know that right now.
Yeah, they're listening.
Yeah. It is, you know, who is to know? I mean, I just read the papers. I talk to some friends who cover the security business, and you know, I've no idea. I get the impression he is still very much alive. If the U.S. knew he was dead, I think they would make the pronouncement. The question of really is effectiveness. Is he pulling the strings? I don't think he's doing it in Iraq. I think the Al-Qaeda people there, Al-Zarqawi and others, are running their own show. Probably, you know, in the image of what Saddam would be doing, but there doesn't seem to be any direct connection between them. That seems to apply to some of this other terrorism internationally. This doesn't weaken or lessen the problems coming from this terrorism, but Osama seems to be out of the picture to a large degree.
Just about 30 seconds left, Peter Arnett. How big is the terrorist apparatus? I mean, it's like Fu Manchu. I mean, it's limitless. Are we talking about thousands of men, hundreds of men, tens of thousands?
The experts say you look at, you know, 40 or 50 countries, they have the apparatus in stake. In every country in the Islamic world, for example. And they're in some in Europe and in some degree. So you're talking 40 or 50 countries where you have terrorist sort of organizations that occasionally become active. You'd have to say there are thousands of operatives plus tens of thousands of sympathizers, and it's a matter of sort of tracking them down one by one.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Peter Arnett, international war correspondent, his interview, It's Mine, The Whole Goddamn Story Is Mine, appears in a brand new book by Christina Borgeson, Feet to the Fire. Peter Arnett, thanks for joining me on Air America Radio.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Huddled masses are still welcome. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hello, I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola!
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
I had someone actually tell me that George Bush would be a great president because he's a man of the people.
You gotta give him credit. That's the best PR job of all time.
Oh, that's Mayhem Regler.
Yeah. Preppy that grew up in.
I'm a cowboy.
Having dinner with the Saudi royal family. Oh, just like everyone in my
Regler,
neighborhood.
Regler,
yeah.
Fella.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller.
The kind of fella who
sits on a haystack. You know, skin simple fella stuff.
Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
And even some of my supporters have accused me of what they call cronyism. I reject this assertion. I am not a cronyist, nor do I practice their faith. It's true, I have nominated some old buddies and old biddies, but they're always the most qualified for the job. The job of telling me what a great job I'm doing. I dedicate this song to them. I can't fill daddy's boots, so I hire empty suits. They tell me what I like to hear. Surrounded by folks who laugh at my jokes, I give every damn one a career. Now, some of my buds should turn out to be duds, I give them a medal, and then a job that's brand new, they f*** up that one too, and I just promote them again. Yes, I put friends in high places, cause I can't do without those familiar faces saying, George, you're right. George, you're so damn bright. Everybody tells me that must be true. I fill every job on a regular basis without ever reading no resumes. Oh, I put friends in high places. I'm the most brilliant guy some have ever met in my inner circle. Can't chance that some jerk'll be new and not true to my plan. I'm just gonna stick with Donnie and Dick. My dad and my mama can't help find Osama. I've known him for life, and just like my wife, they pray I won't screw him too much. Yeah, I put friends in high places, and I don't give a damn if it disgraces the USA. I don't see it that way. I'm just helping people get jobs. Oh, my friends get me out of tight spaces. I can trust them to do my shoelaces. So I put friends, everybody. I promise that for the rest of my term, I will appoint only those who are best suited to help this administration appear like it knows what it's doing.
Mike921.com. Click on the Get Involved link and take part in the revolution. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270. We're just to finish up our conversation with Pulitzer Prize-winning war correspondent Peter Arnett. Before that, though, we were talking about the MTA strike in New York City. Steve from Queens writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I walked 5.5 miles each way to work today. Man, I took a 4-mile walk, and I thought I was doing good. It doesn't seem as too many people are on the side of the workers. Too bad. And April in Minnesota says, a caller tonight called in and was talking about Paul Wellstone. She said Wellstone and his wife were supposed to be talking about human rights abuses in China the night he died. That's actually not correct, says April. He was supposed to be at a debate with Norm Coleman at the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth. Being a student at this college, I was going to attend that debate that night, but that morning I decided not to. He was on his way to a funeral and when his plane crashed. Just thought I would mention it. Thank you. Because we always want corrections, and I don't know whether I have a correction or not. After the news at the top of the hour, have I been perpetrating a host? Perpetrating a hoax? Or did I last night? I'll tell you more about that then. But let's go back to our phones. Here's Pat in Pennsylvania, wants to talk about the strike as well. Hey, Pat, it's Peter Werby. Go ahead.
How you doing, Peter? I want to tell you that the strike, I'm 100% for. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
You have this guy Bloomberg and this other guy Pataki, two Republicans.
Sure.
Governor and the mayor. In the beginning, when they asked them to come and sit down at the table and help them out with the talks, they said, oh, no, we'll leave it to the professionals, the MTA. The MTA is a bunch of crooks. Peter Calico, the head of the MTA, is a crook. And the only reason why he's the head of the MTA is because he raised $1 million for Pataki's reelection campaign.
Hmm.
Okay? That's all, basically what I want to say. I'm 100% for the strike. I'm with the strikers 100%, and I hope they get what they want. And that's basically it.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Thanks for joining us. Unfortunately, it doesn't even appear as the National Transit Workers Union, the Transport Workers Union. Apparently, the International Arm is angry, according to this report from CBS, that its local 100 representing New York subway and bus workers turned down an offer. They say that, where is this language here? That it was they're considering taking over the local and seeking a settlement with the MTA. Somewhere or other, they said that militants had seized control of it. Well, hey, maybe they should. Let's go back out to Jim in San Francisco. He was talking to instant runoff voting. That's where you vote for. You can vote like I could have voted, pardon me, for the Green presidential candidate and Kerry and myself. And then, Jim, what would happen?
Well, basically the way it works is if your first candidate doesn't get a majority of the vote, the lowest candidate drops out, and then your vote goes to the second candidate. And it keeps going until somebody gets a majority victory.
Boy, does that sound confusing. Is that all going to be done with machines?
Oh, yeah. It can be done with machines or hand count. And it's really not complicated. It really isn't.
Okay.
We've been doing it here in San Francisco. We just did it citywide, as you mentioned. Ferndale just passed it. They're going to do it. Howard Dean supports this. You know why? Because Burlington, Vermont is going to use this.
Well, that's good. And I think that it's on the agenda. And if people like myself are still a little fuzzy about it, is there like a website? I'm sure people could just Google instant runoff voting, right?
Yes. And go to www.fairvote.org. And I'll tell you an interesting thing about Paul Wellstone.
Can we do this? I've got to get one more caller in before the break, so let's save that. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for explaining that all to us. Let's go to Brian in Queens. Brian, hi. It's Peter Werby, and you're on the air.
Pete, you know, it's sort of in the vein of this topic. I was watching that show Like It Is. There was an episode of a union activist who was very involved in basically what's going on with this CAFTA. I mean, this giving jobs, you know, to China and Pakistan for like slave wages. I mean, like 15 cents on the dollar. People like having to live in like cardboard boxes and working 16-hour days. I mean, being beaten if they like make a wrong like stitch in a piece of clothing. I mean, like the kind of things that like Walmart does, where they have like a middleman.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not linked to the American corporations directly. The middleman is the person from that country who's almost like a slave, like overseer, you know?
Sure. No,
and that kind of thing. And the protection against that kind of thing. I mean, look, before the unions and all that, there was no child welfare laws or anything. I mean, and it seems scary because I think that this administration could have its way. We'd have kids working 16-hour days, you know?
Well, I don't, who knows? I mean, we've come to expect anything from them, but they don't want any controls. Their model of labor relations must be the 19th century. They've done everything they can to attack the standard of living of the middle class and the working class. They've repealed all sorts of executive orders that had been put in previously for work standards and safety standards and what have you, all at the behest of the multimillionaires that bankrolled the Republican Party. And that's why this strike is important. And to tell you the truth, every strike is important, and we ought to be behind them. I'm a little worried about this one. There seems to be a lot arraigned against them. All right, Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We will be right back. Lots more to talk about. Judge rules against, Scopes 1, right? Also, I'll tell you, maybe I made an error last night. Maybe I didn't. More when we return.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Even as President Bush was trying to spin the fantasy that the Iraq occupation is some kind of success, Vice President Dick Cheney's visit to Iraq confirmed that is not the case. The Vice President's surprise visit to Iraq was a public relations disaster. Why? Because the Vice President came into contact with precisely the people that his fantasies regarding Iraq had put in harm's way. Remember when Cheney said, before the war, that U.S. troops would be greeted as liberators? Well, now he was talking to the troops. And they knew Cheney was wrong. Marine Corporal Bradley Warren told the Vice President, "From our perspective, we don't see much as far as gains. We're looking at small picture stuff, not many gains." Cheney's bumbling response to that inquiry drew no applause. For more on Dick Cheney's journey into the quagmire, visit thenation.com. This is John Nichols for Air America Radio.
Thank you.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Stephanie Miller, Taking Back America by Talking to America.
Who could that be, Chris?
Why, it's Congressman John Conyers.
This is the most breathtaking administration in terms of corruption and abuse of power.
It's taken us to a new place, and new things keep coming out all the time.
Congressman, you are our general in the fight to take back America. You're my hero. You're everything I wish I could be. You are the wind beneath my wings.
Oh,
Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
I don't dream like you. I don't have the same skin as you. I don't wear my hair like you. I don't dance like you. I don't come from the same place as you. But I will give you CPR.
With first aid and CPR training from the American Red Cross, you can be ready to save a life today. Contact your local chapter or visit redcross.org. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
I'm Bill, and I'm from Madison, and I'm on the mic.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1. WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. The Midwest Airlines passenger jet with landing gear problems makes a safe landing tonight at Boston's Logan International Airport. Former NTSB Chairman Robert Francis says the pilot did exactly what he or she was supposed to do.
It's almost a textbook emergency situation that came out exactly the way you want it to come out.
As the plane landed, sparks could be seen coming from an area around the right landing gear. All on board are reportedly uninjured. NTSB investigators in Miami say the right wing of a vintage seaplane detached from the fuselage Monday in an accident that killed all 20 people aboard.
Three infants were on board below the age of two. 20 souls, two crew, 18 passengers. Of that, 17 out of the 20 have been positively identified.
Mark Rosenker is acting chairman of the NTSB. Investigators want to know why the wing detached from the Grumman aircraft built over 50 years ago. New York transit workers walked off the job early today. Chris Huntington reports getting around the Big Apple wasn't easy on the first day of the strike.
Most people feel very, very put out by the strike. This is a city that is more dependent than most on its public transportation system, and it is a very serious issue here in New York, not only just in terms of convenience, but really in terms of the economy. And this is something Mayor Bloomberg has made very clear. His estimates, his administration's estimates, put the daily loss of business and tax revenue and outlays by the city at something close to $400 million a day. Chris Huntington, CNN, New York.
A state Supreme Court has ruled the strike illegal and has ordered a fine of $1 million a day against the Transit Workers Union. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score when you sign up for a 30-day credit monitoring trial at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
When it comes to the holidays, make all your friends and family's wishes bright with a bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. At 1-800-Flowers.com, you get a choice of beautiful flowers fresh from their growers or festive bouquets from their expert designers, like the exclusive Waterford Present Bouquet in a keepsake ceramic Waterford gift box, $49.99. Order today, get same-day delivery. Just call, click, or come in to any of our 1-800-Flower stores and mention my name, Lisa Gibbons, for special savings. 1-800-Flowers.com, your florist of choice.
No word yet on whether there will be congressional hearings on the recently discovered domestic spying program. Our Lisa Goddard has more from Washington.
The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee is concerned.
I think it raises very fundamental questions about how we proceed to gather information, fundamental questions on privacy and the Bill of Rights.
Arlen Specter says he has many serious questions about the wiretapping program, but today he stopped talking about whether he plans hearings on the subject. Instead, he said that word will come from Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. For now, Frist isn't saying whether there will or will not be hearings, just saying it's something he'll discuss with his Democratic counterpart. Lisa Goddard, CNN, Capitol Hill.
The experts are a bit skeptical, but the federal government says anti-spam laws are effective. The FTC says there is less junk mail this year than in years past. This is CNN Radio. A federal judge has ruled intelligent design cannot be taught in biology classes in a Pennsylvania school district. Our Ed McCarthy has details.
The judge ruled that intelligent design, the notion that life on Earth was produced by an unidentified intelligent cause, can't be mentioned in biology classes in Dover, Pennsylvania, because it violates the Constitution. CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin says the previous school board all were voted out over the issue.
This ruling will probably not be appealed, that the current school board wants to be done with this whole controversy to go back to teaching ordinary science.
The judge concluded in his ruling that several members of the school board lied about their motives for introducing the concept to students. Ed McCarthy, CNN.
A new treatment in the battle against kidney cancer gets government approval. Nexavar is said to offer potential relief from advanced forms of the disease. I'm Paul Chambers. This is CNN Radio.
The Al Franken Show. Proving the truth is entertaining.
Do you remember the FBI hearing? It turned out that they couldn't search two words at one time on the FBI computer. So Al-Qaeda, to do a search on Al-Qaeda, they first had to go through every Al. They had to go through me, Al Gore, Weird Al Yankovic, all the lyrics in Weird Al Yankovic.
The Al Franken Show. Weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1. Streaming at themike921.com.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your voice. It's Mike Malloy on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike 92.1.
Welcome to hour number two of the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby with you. Broadcasting live from Detroit, Michigan. Taking your calls at 866-303-2270. This is our second hour. And we were talking with Peter Arnett, the CNN, NBC, Pulitzer Prize winning war correspondent in the first hour. But also we were talking about the strike against the subway and bus system by those workers that make it go every day. Man, I think that's important. I'm really worried about the strike. They've got pretty much everything arrayed against them. $1 million a day fine. I think public opinion is against them, but they are fighting the fight for all of us that want to maintain the standard of living that we and our parents and our grandparents have fought for over the years. They're driving us down, folks. I'll tell you, one of the, of course, that people seem to be highly sympathetic to is that the cost of health care is so incredibly high that it hobbles the ability of every institution, from corporations to cities, to keep funding it. Well, why don't we stop spending $500 billion a year on this rat hole of the war budget and use about 4/5 of it, so we'd only be spending about $100 billion a year, twice what China spends, instead of 10 times, and use that for a national health program, use it for building the schools in our country rather than other, we could actually do both, and take care of what we need here in this country rather than the military-industrial complex. That's what I think. You tell me what you think. 866-303-2270. Let's see. At 11:30, they make that 30. I don't know where you're listening. You could be. It could be. Oh, let me see. Let me do the math here. It could be 8 o'clock, a little bit after 8 o'clock where you are, right? Listening to Air America. At 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to be talking with the politically incorrect movie reviewer. That's right, Curtis Ellis, the Peter Werby Show's culture vulture, will be joining us live in Air America studios in New York to talk about some of the latest movies, including King Kong, and also one that he says is the best political movie of the year. I'm anxious to hear about that, for sure. Now, yesterday, at the beginning of the show, in the first hour, and this story was sent to me by a librarian in Ann Arbor, Michigan, a friend of mine. And what it said was that a Massachusetts paper was reporting that a college student was visited by the Department of Homeland Security agents in October because he had requested a copy of quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong, better known as the Little Red Book, from a university library. And two history professors were named and what have you. Now, suddenly, there is this massive internet email debate as to whether this is a hoax or not. I know many of you were as indignant as I was that we thought that that the fascistic tendencies of this country had gone to such a degree that if someone took a book out of the library, that they were visited by agents of the state. That sounds like something out of the Soviet Union, doesn't it? Now, I've been trying to get to the bottom of this. It seems to me that people, there's a whole blog about this where people say, well, some of this doesn't make sense and all that. The reporter sticks by the story. The reporter sticks by the story. So I'm going to stick with it unless I hear differently. Maybe somebody right now, I haven't done it in a few hours, can go to Snopes.com, Snopes.com. Snopes.com and see whether this has made it there. They check false stories, urban legends, and what have you. And I'll tell you, whenever I hear something, this sounded reasonable to me. I think things have gotten to this point with all the illegal surveillance, the trashing of the Fourth Amendment by Bushko. So this made sense to me. Let's see. Let's go right to Larry in New York City. Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
You there?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, how you doing? I just my thought about why we're at war, and it became clear to me on election night 2004 when I was having dinner with a friend of mine, and I asked him, who do you vote for? And he said, you're not going to be happy. And I said, who? He said, Bush. And the reason he said it is because you don't change horses in midstream.
Horses? What do you mean change horses? What are you talking about?
Change horses.
Oh, horses. Okay.
In midstream. And it believes to me that the only reason we're in Iraq was to reelect the president, because we've never voted out a president during a war. They didn't win the first election, and they knew they weren't going to win this one either, because he wasn't doing anything. 9/11 came along. We didn't attack the country where all the hijackers came from.
Now, we could have taken them out pretty easily, the Saudis, our buddies.
Yeah, but here we are. And so everything about the war, I mean, how Franken goes on, how incompetent they are, it wasn't about being competent. It was about putting on a show over the election period.
Well, let me say, Larry, I don't think there's any. I mean, ultimately, I think it's about oil, it's about empire, but all of those things fall into place.
But they couldn't get all those things without being reelected.
Sure. You're right.
And I don't.
But I mean, wait a minute. I don't. Yeah, wait a minute, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they played the Iraq card when they did, which was in about July of 2002, was because, exactly what you're getting at, that Bush's poll numbers had started to sink to what they were in September 10th, 2001, because everyone had caught on to him. He wasn't a uniter. He wasn't a centrist. He was a far right-wing corporatist who was in the direct thrall, in fact, was part of the whole corporate rollback of the New Deal tendency in right-wing politics.
I'm totally on board with that, but the thing I wanted to say was, if Afghanistan was where they were all staging, but the problem with Afghanistan is we didn't have one person to really hate. Here we had Saddam Hussein, who, as far as modern era is concerned, is another Hitler. We knew they paraded the rape rooms out, they paraded out the soccer teams, and everything that we could all say, wow, these are really bad guys.
No, they were anxious to go in, and they were anxious to go in for a lot of reasons. But I mean, it isn't anything as tawdry as just simply re-election, although that was a great concern of theirs. But there was a meshing of long-range strategy to dominate the Middle East and to actually have a military presence there, and the short-term, more tawdry things, as you're indicating. Hey, Larry, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us. Let's go to Andre in Fort Worth, Texas. Andre, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for listening to my call.
Sure.
I'm a labor person.
Sure.
I'm a Teamster, Local 19, DFW Airport. And I support the strike. I mean, because we see what's happening in this country. We see that they've been wanting to kill off the labor movement for over 30 years now.
They've been at it since the beginning. I mean, they were shooting down people in the street. You know, I'll tell you, you may know this history as well as I do, Andre, but during the 1930s, where we talk about such a glorious decade, and it was, but the National Guard and local police and private guards killed 300 people trying to unionize during that decade.
That is right. They're trying to do it without the bullets. You remember back in 79, 80, when Paul Volcker's clique was saying that the only way to kill off the labor movement is to move jobs overseas,
mm-hmm.
and they moved over 1,600 jobs from 1965 to 92.
You know, Andre, you said your union too quickly for me to hear. What is it?
The Paul Volcker's clique that he had when he was over the Federal Reserve. They're saying the only way to kill off the labor movement is to move jobs overseas.
No, that's not what I said. I said I didn't hear what your union was.
Oh, what my union was?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Teamsters Local 19.
Oh, Teamsters. Okay. I'm a
Brotherhood of Teamsters.
Yeah. I am, and Mike Malloy is, and the rest of us are all members of the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, so we're all on board. We're union members.
We're our Brotherhood. Yeah,
can you
see how all that ties in with the killing of the New Deal programs, the Great Society programs. Even Tom DeLay said it in the mid-90s. They want to reshape the Republican Party where there will be no resemblance of any New Deal or Great Society programs.
Yeah, and it's all, I mean, it's this pathological greed. It's not like the rich people weren't doing well, even when we had great numbers of our workforce unionized. They're just a pack of psychos, to tell you the truth. And they're ruining this country.
I mean, the Kool-Aid is working. It's like, how can you be over 40 years old and don't see what they're doing?
I agree.
A lot of people were machinists. They were machinists. I was a machinist by trade for years. There are no machinist jobs. They closed down a lot of aerospace jobs, machinist jobs. I mean, it's, like you said, bread and circuses.
Yeah, it is. It is. But hey, at least the Romans provided bread. Now what they want to give us is just a bunch of circuses on television. Thank you, Andre, and stay strong in the labor movement. Here's Rachel from Phoenix, Arizona. Rachel, you hold on. Hold that thought, as I know you've heard so many times before, and we want to talk to you when we come back. You got a citizen's petition for the arrest of George W. Bush? We'll find out all about that on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you, 866-303-2276. We'll be right back. Hang on.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio,
the most patrioticist station in town.
Is that a word?
This is the Mike 92.1.
This is Sally Field for Save the Children. We've all seen the devastation the hurricanes have wrought. Now imagine how we can make it better. Imagine all the children from the hurricanes feeling safe again.
Imagine all the children back with their families again. Imagine all the children going to school again.
Please help us create lasting change for children here at home and around the world. Call 1-800-SAVE-THE-CHILDREN or visit SaveTheChildren.org.
Imagine we can save the children.
Imagine.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
They're trying to frame the issue that Democrats are weak on security if they won't give a stamp of approval on the Patriot Act.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
Senator Carl Levin with us.
The administration, the president, call out the security claim every time they want to take some action. The question is, how do we both protect ourselves physically and protect our liberties?
Straight talk is progressive talk.
This is getting to be a real knockdown dragout.
Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1.
It has come to my attention that some of you have begun to question my honesty and my truthity. This hurts me deeply. In fact, it tortures me, which is against the Geneva Convention and makes you liable for prosecution. Please go back to believing me. I'm the most trustworthy guy in the Oval Office. Hey, look, there's a wolf. Well, damn, you just ain't buying it no more. No matter how hard I try, it ain't working when I lie like it used to do. Hey, I swear this is true. All this bull that I'm throwing makes my nose start to growing. Just like Pinocchio, I prized it, but now the truth has circumcised it. Do you believe the lies that I love, that I love, that I love, that I love? When my facts are wrong, won't you play along? I really did think you were dumb enough, bud. But now the blossom's off the turd, what would Jesus do? Hey, you should believe me too. But my stories are crumbling, 'cause my truth gets me fumbling. Now you found out I'm a hypocrite. It's put me in some deep shiznit. Shiznit. Snoop Dogg taught me that one. He's my buddy, really. Do you believe lies that I love, that I love, that I love? I done lost my grip on my ship of state. I'm drowning in my own Watergate. Oh, do you believe the spew that I spun, that I spun, that I spun, that I spun? I don't feel your pain, but like Clinton stain. Now I'm a devil with the blue dress on. Oh, I'm gonna bring integrity back to the White House. My administration is not gonna tolerate wrongdoing. We're lowering the deficit, trust me. Veterans' benefits will never be reduced. We do not torture. I'm proud to be cleaning up the environment. Trust me. This tax break is for everybody. We'll be greeted as liberators, the most qualified. He's doing a heck of a job. Mission accomplished. I will preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. I did not have sex.
Progressive voices are all here.
All here.
The Mike 92.1, Madison's Progressive Talk, streaming at themike921.com.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Mike. Peter Werby here, broadcasting from Detroit, sitting in for Mike today and tomorrow as well. Mike will be back on Thursday. Some Pink Floyd in the background. Jason, you remember what this was? That Three Little Pigs? Or, in fact, one of them you hear snorting at it. Anyways, yeah. Okay, let's see. Here's some email that came into calltalkyes@yahoo.com from Thomas in Vancouver, B.C. an American citizen, an expatriate, though. Man, I get a lot of email from people that sign it expats. He says, hey, you're my favorite fill-in for Mike. Thank you. Great topic. I'm glad someone sees the importance of supporting labor in these terrible times. It seems that in America, class consciousness is only for the ultra-rich. Anyone with a job keeping a roof overhead seems to think they are middle class and that their interests are somehow tied to the interests of the corporate giants. You know, I think that's often been true, Mike, that people tend to identify upwards. They don't like the idea of being considered working class, and almost everybody likes to say they're middle class. That illusion is beginning to evaporate, though. But anyway, Thomas says, organized labor is the only force in America that in any way reflects the real values and needs of its people. Wouldn't it be a wonderful fantasy come true if the bloody Democrats suddenly remembered their roots and their base and started supporting working people? Yeah, where is the Democratic Party on this New York strike supporting their base? I mean, wouldn't you believe that in New York City, a union probably votes about 90% for the Democrats, and they're going, "Ooh, this might not be popular, so maybe we shouldn't say anything." All right, let me, if I get my correct screen back here on my computer, I'll be able to tell who's next. It's Rachel from Phoenix, Arizona. Rachel, hi, it's Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks for filling in for Mike. I'm actually an intern with our Phoenix affiliate, 10:10 a.m.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I started a petition today. There's a couple of free places you can go to start your own petition.
Uh-huh.
I went to the petitionsite.com, and I started a petition to call for a citizen's arrest of the president.
Wow.
Based on his finally screwing up in public and admitting that he's acting illegally with the whole spying thing.
Yes, he has admitted that he's violated the terms of the Fourth Amendment. There's no exception, there's no asterisk after a demand for a warrant in the Fourth Amendment, is there?
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
So what I did was I went and I created this petition, and I did a little research first and found out that we could pretty much send it to any police department, the FBI, whatever. So I just made it out for the chief of police of Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
And the rest, and the whole thing, it's kind of an awkward web address, but I emailed it to you also. So if you want to post it from there, you can, and I'll just say it on the air and then let you get back to your
okay.
call.
Okay. Well, maybe Dee can post it on Mike's site. I think that would be a lot easier. MikeMalloy.com.
Yeah.
MALLOY. I stress the A because people usually spell it wrong. MALLOY. In fact, it's a good site to go to. MikeMalloy.com. Always great stuff on there. Yeah.
So for people who have a pen and paper handy, do you want me to say it?
Yeah, sure. Do it quick for us.
Okay. It's www.thepetitionsite.com/takeaction245997189.
All right. If you get a lot of signatures, Rachel, I want to be in the posse that goes in
there. Well,
my goal
is 200,000. So.
All right. Okay, well, let us know
if Randy can get that many for Conyers. I want that many for this. So.
Thank you so much, Rachel, and thanks for being there for us in Phoenix, Arizona. Appreciate it. All right, here is David in Memphis. David, hi. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
And turn your radio completely off.
Phoenix, Arizona. Appreciate it. Here is David in Memphis.
Listen to this.
Hello.
Hello, Mike. Figuring it out?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Okay. This business in New York, I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm an urban anthropologist, so I have studied the history out here.
Okay.
And most everybody that's listening to this program more than likely has some idea of the garbage worker strike in 1968 that resulted in the death of Martin Luther King Jr.
I think if they don't, you just aptly reminded them, and that's a good that's a good reminder. Thank you for that.
Okay,
go ahead.
And that's 37 years.
Yeah.
That we've just passed.
Okay.
And New York is behaving, the city of New York, that is the government, is behaving no differently than the union that was formed here in 1968 asked me We just went through a process out here, a bunch of us local grassroots activists, to try to stop the privatization of prisons out here in Shelby County.
Oh, man.
In West Tennessee.
Yeah, good for you.
Which would put all the AFSCME folks out of business, and that's the very union that was created back in 1968. But to think of the history of 37 years has passed, and the average American has such a short memory.
They do indeed. In fact, I was very sincere when I said thank you for the memory. That's very important to remember. That Martin Luther King was straying from, if you will, from civil rights because he understood that it was all connected. Civil rights,
well, and also,
the war, and trade union organizing and mobilizing the poor. Got to go, David. Thank you. I'd like to spend more time on this. Maybe we can talk about at another juncture. All right, we're going to take a break and be right back with the culture vulture of the Peter Werbe Show, Curtis Ellis, our politically incorrect movie reviewer.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola!
This is your Mother Jones Minute. Here's Mother Jones publisher, Jay Harris.
The press missed the mark this week in covering Tookie Williams' plea to halt his execution. The real story wasn't the celebrities who lined up to support him. It wasn't whether he'd redeemed himself through his anti-gang work. It wasn't even the outrageous racial skew to the people we send to death row. The real question is this: is the death penalty even moral? The answer is no. Thinking people from across the political and religious spectrum agree, from conservative Senator Sam Brownback to religious leaders. This month's Mother Jones features the story of Catholics who are standing up to protest capital punishment. The essence is this: the act of killing another person is never justified, even as justice for a barbaric act. It demeans us as a society. This is the message our elected officials should hear.
For the best investigative reporting and news, visit MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Have you experienced a random act of kindness? Someone you haven't seen for years suddenly come back into your life? Do you know a positive story that inspired or motivated you? Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. For years, Aleve has been devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis pain. Now, Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Big Ed gets big guests on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
The Patriot Act, the NSA story, it's all connected. What got my attention when this story broke was that it was reported that it went back to 2002, which brings us to our old friend Tom Daschle. Senator Daschle, you put out a statement with the Center for American Progress. You were involved in classified briefings on this program, were you not?
Well, involved is a real good word, Ed. They made clear they weren't seeking my advice. They weren't asking for my consent. They were just telling me about the president using all the latitude he had in with how they interpreted the Constitution. I raised some very serious concerns about this approach, and we didn't know that they omitted a lot of the key details about the scope of this program.
Did they specifically tell you that they were going to be wiretapping Americans?
That's, I think, the real essence of the omission. They said that I was led to believe this was only going to be foreigners, and that it was only under the most extreme circumstances, but obviously, as you can understand, because this is all classified, I'm reluctant to get into too many of the details, but clearly this is not what we were told when we were briefed several years ago.
What would come out in an investigation? I mean, the president's out there saying Congress was briefed. To the average news consumer in America, Senator Daschle, that's, oh, okay, they told Congress it should be okay.
Well, I think that's what they're asserting, but this is what the administration does all the time. They cover their tracks, they change the history, they move the information around to make it convenient to them. Well, this isn't a convenient story for them, and the more people understand it, the less convenient it's going to be.
Do you think that they would have wiretapped John Kerry's campaign?
Well, I think anything's possible. I don't trust them. I'm really concerned about the willingness that they're willing to go to bend the rules to accommodate whatever purpose they may have in mind. You just never know how far they're willing to go.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
The National Security Agency has been spying on people. They've been having all kinds of fun with it. Now it brings more questions about the administration's credibility and trust with the American people.
Straight talk is progressive talk.
How do we know these investigations won't be outsourced to taking down some people who may be rising political stars in a movement in America?
Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1.
Mr. President, there's a daily news story today, kind of questioning your mental stability. We should maybe come up with a strategy to fight that perception.
You talking to me? You talking to me? Then who the hell else are you talking to? Well, I'm the only one here. Next question, Helen.
Yeah. Maybe we should talk about Hurricane Wilma.
Someday a real rain will come and wash all the scum off the streets. All the whores, fairies, dopers, and special prosecutors. Flush them all down the toilet.
The Myers nomination is in real trouble?
Harriet, I remember the first time I saw her. She was wearing a white dress. She appeared like an angel out of this filthy mess. She is alone. They cannot touch her.
Sir, please, what about your legacy?
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth.
Yeah, okay, Mr. President, listen, I'm gonna cancel any public appearances until that mohawk grows out a little bit more.
Here's a man who stood up. Here's a man who stood up.
Catherine, Ed Schultz, Randy Rhodes, Janine and Sam, Mike Malloy. They're on the Mike 92.1.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werbe sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Mike. Peter Werbe here broadcasting from Detroit and from our New York Radio, Air America Radio Network studios. Curtis Ellis. Curtis, hi.
Hey, hi, Peter. How are you tonight?
Thanks for joining us, the politically incorrect movie reviewer, AP reporter, and the Peter Werbe Show Culture Vulture. Where we say after Monty Python, culture, we got culture up to our a-holes.
That's right. That's New York. We're steeped in it. We're simmering in it.
Hey, you're there in New York. What did you do? Walk from the Lower East Side?
Yeah, actually I did. I walked quite a ways. The Lower East Side, the East Village, was completely deserted. All the cabs were uptown trying to make money. I did see a few downtown. Very interesting sight. I saw... the black people needed cops to get cabs today.
It's like the old days.
Huh? Yeah, I saw this guy, this black guy, had to get a cop to get him a cab because, you know, New York cab drivers don't stop for black people. There's that famous Michael Moore segment where he had Danny Glover and a convicted murderer hailing cabs, and the convicted murderer could get a cab because he was white. But Danny Glover, the big Hollywood movie star, millionaire, couldn't get a cab because he's black. So I saw it played out in real time today. So I imagine there are a lot of cranky black people in New York City tonight.
Now, Curtis Ellis, I'm going to embarrass you.
Okay. Yeah.
You just talked about walking. You are one of the coolest dressers I've ever come in contact with, and you have, like, really cool shoes. Now, I'll bet you probably don't even own a pair of, like, gym shoes or sneakers.
Actually, I do. They are vintage Nikes. I'm very proud of them.
Well, hey, let's talk about...
But they're too tight, so I don't wear them.
Exactly. So you walked all that way in your very cool shoes?
I walked part of the way. I did take a cab part of the way. I managed to share a cab with somebody, so I got it for $10 instead of $15.
Whoa.
Then I walked 10 blocks because I wanted to.
Let's talk about some of the movies you've
seen.
All right. King Kong.
King Kong. This, by politically incorrect take, this movie is about what every white woman dreams of, to be taken by an unimaginably huge African male. ape.
Yeah, well, you know, wait a minute. Some people have said that it's a racist film.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, because they got these weird dreadlock voodoo types down there on Skull Island. Actually, maybe it's anti-Jewish or something. I think, is Jack Black Jewish? He might be. But he plays a New York producer, and everybody knows they're all Jewish. And the message that this movie sends is that one fame-crazed New York producer is deadlier than a pack of giant carnivorous lizards. Because King Kong can fight the lizards and win, but when he runs into this, when he gets to New York and Broadway, and he's under the control of this New York producer, it's over for him. It's curtains.
Yeah. Well, so, did it beat the? I mean, I can't imagine that it beat the 1933 Miriam Cooper. I forgot the other guy, the director. Version.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, that was really good. This one is longer. You know, the only thing longer than King Kong's arm is this movie, but it's still shorter than the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy, so Peter Jackson's moving in the right direction. Maybe one day he'll make a regular length film, but this one's still 3 hours long. I enjoyed it. Some people say it's too long. You know, it's like the little dinosaur fight scene seems to go on like quite a while, and then you got the giant bugs, and you got all that stuff on Skull Island, and I don't know. I thought it was fun for what it is. It's a jokey junk movie, and as I said, it proves that a New York producer is more deadly than a pack of carnivorous lizards. And we know that, being in show business ourselves. We know that.
Curtis Ellis, we have found out since the appearance of Brokeback Mountain that it seems like half the cowboys in Wyoming now are coming out, if you've read the papers the last few days.
That's right.
Tell us about Brokeback Mountain, though.
A bareback mountain. That's
we're not going to go there.
This is where Heath Ledger, Heath Ledger's one of these guys in this movie, one of the romantic leads. He's also in Casanova. So the Heath Ledger is truly a man for all seasons this year.
Talk about going both ways.
That's true. And now this is not a gay cowboy movie because these guys are not cowboys. They're shepherds. They're sheep herders.
It's Wyoming where the men are men and the sheep are nervous.
That's right, exactly.
That's right, yeah.
Now, the thing that's unbelievable at this movie, not the two macho guys would be getting it on with each other, but remember, these guys have been sleeping on a mountain with no bath, no running water, no showers for 3 months, sleeping with sheep. It's amazing that they could be within 5 feet of each other. Not that they'd be... The rest of it is like, man, if you can get past the smell... I mean, you see in the trailers, you know, Heath Ledger says, Jack Twist, I wish I could quit you. It should be, I wish I could quit smelling you. It's been 4 years and I still have that stench in my nose. Well, anyway, there's a lot of foreshadowing before they have sex. You know, it's a very beautiful movie, beautifully photographed. A lot of foreshadowing. Jake Gyllenhaal, who's the rodeo rider, and he's the one who gets involved with Heath Ledger. They're up on the mountain. They're in an illegal camping situation to watch the sheep, and the foreshadowing, Jake says, he's got, talking about the boss, he's got no right to make us do something against the rules. It's like, ooh, ooh. And then the other bit of foreshadowing, they're in the third week on the mountain, they haven't yet gotten it on or shared a tent yet, and one of them says, no more beans. So you know where this is going. But then when they do finally have sex,
yeah,
Jake Gyllenhaal, the rodeo rider, gets ridden by Heath Ledger. Take note.
Yeah.
And then he's on the bottom.
I mean, do they kiss?
They do, but not the first time. The first time, it looks more like a prison rape, to be quite honest. It's like very rough and like they're, But then the funny part. This is the funny part. When Heath gets married, they get together.
Are you going to give the whole thing away?
No, I won't. I won't. I promise. And I won't tell you the end. I really enjoyed the short story, by the way, which I read years ago, and I reread it tonight. You can read the short story in 30 minutes. So this is like a word is worth 1,000 pictures because it's like a 2.5 hour. Anyway, but when Heath gets married, see, they get together for the summer, and then the rest of the movie is them going their separate ways. And when Heath gets married, the first time he has sex with his wife, we see him in bed with his wife, and it starts out there face to face, you know, like where he has full view of all the recreation equipment.
Yeah.
But then he flips her over. And he's thinking, you know what? I wonder what he's thinking of here. Anyway.
Well. My wife, who you know, but who, as you remember, who must be unnamed.
Right. Anita Pallenberg, isn't it?
Yes.
Right.
Along with my dog, who can neither be named nor even its sex divulged.
Right.
She asked, did I want to go see it?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's probably just another corny, sad love story.
Yeah, you know, everybody's screaming and raving about this movie. It's not.
Well, tell us about another gay movie, Capote. That's been out for a while. That's supposed to be a great movie.
That is a great movie. I really enjoyed that. I think Philip Seymour Hoffman should get the Oscar for this one, Best Actor. He's totally obnoxious. Truman Capote is a miserable, horrible little man who literally steps over dead bodies to get his fame and his best-selling book. And so this is another movie that proves that one famed, crazed New Yorker is more deadly than a pack of lizards or a homicidal maniac who will later be played by Robert Blake. But, you know, if you want the true story, see, I wasn't surprised by this because I had read Gore Vidal. Now, if you read Gore Vidal's book, Palimpsest, his memoir, he talks about just what a horrible person Truman Capote is because they hated each other. In preparation for tonight's show, I went back to Palimpsest and I went into the index. Just go to the bookstore, go to the index and look up Capote, and you'll find little things like where Gore Vidal says, "I mistook him for a small ottoman and sat on it at a party."
Those guys.
Yeah.
The glitterati.
And he refers to his pale fetus face and his dwarfish body.
Oh, God.
And he says the instant lie was his one true art form.
Okay.
And he sued him for libel. And it's true. This all comes out in the movie. Not all this Gore Vidal stuff, but just like what a kind of creepy guy Truman Capote was. Great writer.
You know. They asked Gore Vidal one time if he was, as they put it, a homosexual, and he said, "There are no heterosexuals or homosexuals. There are only homosexual acts and heterosexual acts."
That's right. And in The Nation just a couple weeks ago, he came out against gay marriage. He said it's...
Really?
Yeah, he said, "I don't care about this. It's ridiculous." And it's being used by the Christian right to, you know, keep our fascist government in power. It's a ridiculous issue. Yeah, he's very much not part of the agenda, you know. It's like he's got his own agenda.
Hey, tell us about this other movie, which I would have said cache or cash, but you say it's pronounced cache?
Yeah, I looked it up in Merriam-Webster, cache, C-A-C-H-E, cache. This is the best, cache, I just said it wrong. Cache, I think, is the way you pronounce it, but whatever, I don't care. It is the best political movie out this year.
Yeah.
This beats Syriana, it beats them all. It's Juliette Binoche's in it, she was in Chocolat. It's a French movie, subtitled, and it's an allegory. It's like it's about this family that finds that they're being watched. They get these video cassettes delivered at their house that show that somebody's watching their house and their comings and goings. And as it develops, you find out that the husband, who is a TV interviewer, he ratted out his adopted brother when he was 6 years old, who was Algerian. Right?
Okay.
And the French, so it's the French and the Algerian thing. So it becomes an allegory for the Muslims and the West, the Europeans, and about the lies, and there's beheadings in it.
No.
But they don't behead people. Well, I don't want to give it away.
My unnamed wife will not go to see this.
Well, no, what it is, it's interesting because they chop the head off a chicken, you know, so I'm not giving away too much here.
Hey,
but that becomes a metaphor for, you know, what we know goes on in like Iraq, and it's there's no overt political stuff going on here, but it's all there of, you know, who's created the antagonism, who refuses to take responsibility, the media cover-up, and just the personal, and it's all done on a personal level. You know, those French are so intellectual. It's just amazing. They just did a great job here.
Oh, man, we're out of time.
Oh, man, and I didn't even get to talk about the transit strike. Well, I guess we did a little.
We did a little. You're going to have to walk back to the Lower East Side.
Oh, man.
Curtis Ellis, thank you so much for joining us, our politically incorrect movie reviewer.
My pleasure, Peter.
We'll talk again maybe next week.
Oh, okay. I'd love to.
All right. Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werbe here with you. We'll be right back to get your phone calls.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. The liberal media is not mainstream. Yet. This is the Mike 92.1.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works.
An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
By the way, you know,
they have better cell phones in
Iraq.
Speaking of Joe Lieberman,
they have great cell phones in Iraq.
And the satellite dishes.
Of course, many of them cause things to explode, but that's beside the point.
It's the Axel F. Frog ringtone that is the sound of freedom.
Stephanie Miller. Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Puffy McMoonface, the president's spokesliar, has been saying that he will not comment because it's an ongoing criminal investigation, except that, of course, when he does comment. Because, remember,
right.
He used to comment on it while it was an ongoing
Maybe he was standing away from the podium when he said that.
Maybe there needs to be a certain clearance of the podium before you can actually comment.
That podium has magical powers.
Listen to this. This is the transcript. Question, is it true the president slapped Karl Rove upside the head a couple of years ago over the CIA leak? McClellan, are you referring to what, a New York Daily News report? Two things. One, we're not commenting on an ongoing investigation. And two, I would challenge the overall accuracy of that news account.
Oh.
That's weird, because that seems like commenting right after you said you weren't going to comment. Yeah, we have Puffy from yesterday.
And I've seen a lot of conflicting news reports, and we're just not going to comment any further.
I think he dipped his toe in, and then he pulled it right back out. He's like, oh, that's too cold. Here we go. This is a... the reporter says, so what facts are you challenging, McClellan? Again, I'm not going to comment on an ongoing investigation. Question, you can't say you're challenging the facts and then not say which ones you're challenging. Listen to this. Yes, I can. I just did.
Yeah, I can.
I know you are, but what am I?
He is such a bad spokesperson.
Yes, I can. Well, if you want us to say it's accurate, and it's inaccurate, you need to give us a reason why, or it wouldn't be responsible to report it. McClellan, well, there's an ongoing investigation.
Hey, my God.
And as you know, our policy is not to comment on it. Except that you just did a minute ago. Question. Well, based on your personal knowledge, based on your opinion, based on your frustration with the story, what caused you to challenge the accuracy of the story? McClellan, I read the story, and I didn't view it as an accurate story. So that's commenting again. Then
yes.
He went, yeah. Question, why not? Again, I'm not going to go any further into that. That's an ongoing investigation. Man, he is melting down. He's losing it. After you read the story, Scott, did you check with either the two people mentioned, the president or Rove, to ask them? McClellan, I don't have any further comment.
Bother sending him out.
So now, of course, the Democrats, these are all the stories today, Democrats asked the White House for details of President George W. Bush's private conversations in 2003 with Karl Rove after conflicting reports about whether Bush was aware of any role by Rove. I mean, they just keep making this worse day by day.
I don't know if anybody leaked any information. I want to get to the bottom of it, but I just don't know. I have no idea.
Listen, you're on the mic.
This is Chris. Woohoo! I love me some Randy Rhoads.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mic 92.1.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Molloy Show.
Peter Werby here, 866-303-2270. A lot of email calling coming in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Hey, by the way, my personal website, if you want to check it out, peterwerby.com. Last name is W-E-R-B-E, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerby.com. I mentioned earlier about reading that story yesterday about Homeland Security agents visiting this Dartmouth student who took out a copy of Mao's Little Red Book. And there's been some accusations that the story's a hoax. I've been trying to track it down. Librarians are really in on this. And Debbie is writing in from Boston. She writes, another librarian reporting for duty. I checked Snopes.com, as I asked, for something on the story about the Little Red Book and the Department of Homeland Security being a hoax. There's no information about it being a hoax, true or false. So, I don't know what that tells us. I'm going to assume it's true till I hear differently. Pardon me. Just a little quick personal note, and then we'll get right to our phones and your calls. I usually think of myself, I mean, we all do, as a pretty decent person, and some of the proofs are is the kind of enduring relationships that you have with family, with friends, and I really treasure friends, many of them. Most of my friends go back 20 years, 30 years, more to my childhood. And I don't have much patience with people that are conservatives or right-wingers or religious fanatics or anything like that. I'll be decent and pleasant to them. But in the main, I mean, I don't want to be friends with them. In fact, I've talked about this on my Detroit show, and some of these people said, well, you're pretty narrow. I said, I just couldn't be really good friends with a conservative. I couldn't be real good friends with a Bush supporter. And there's somebody that works here where I broadcast from who's like that, who we kind of banter around, and I don't have, in general, to be quite honest, I hope he's not listening, a particularly good feeling about him, and it wouldn't occur to me to be friends with him. And he was in the halls here between the breaks while I'm doing the show from Detroit, and he gave me an envelope with the usual kind of almost smirk he has on his face. And I said, thanks, thinking it was some article from the National Review or something. And he said, go ahead, open it. And I open it up, and it's a Christmas card. And not even doesn't even say, you know what, it doesn't even say Christmas on it. It says, Happy Hockey Days, because he's, instead of holidays, Happy Hockey Days, because he's a amateur hockey player, and he always listens to my show in Detroit on the way home from hockey, with photographs of him hugging his kids, and a nice little personal message. So I'm thinking, man, maybe he's like a nicer guy than I am. In fact, maybe he is, because he is probably more than willing to see me as a friend. On the other, I wouldn't. I mean, I'll still be as civil, and I was actually a little touched with this, but I wonder how those of you out there deal with this. I know there's families, even famous families, where one's a Republican and the other's a Democrat. Man, I couldn't even have a girlfriend that was a Republican, let alone a wife. I mean, my wife and I see real eye to eye. All right, so in your remarks, maybe you'd like to pick up on that as well. Let's go to Harvey in Brooklyn. Hey, Harvey, it's Peter Werbe. You're on the air.
Yeah, I have trouble sharing the bathroom with my stepson. Talking about relations. I want to talk about Bloomberg. He's like either you're with me or against me, right?
Okay.
As far as the union goes. Now, I thought he was above that. I thought, he tried to represent all the people. Now, there is, the transit system is the heart of New York. If the transit system don't work, New York doesn't work. And what happened was he was behind the UFT because, they voted for him. They got him in. So they got the contract they wanted. But for some reason or other, he didn't realize that, the transit union, would pull a strike or something. I don't know.
Well, unless I'm wrong, that it's illegal for public employees to strike, right?
Well, the point is, I ride the subway every day. And I see what's going on. There are definite improvements, okay? They're putting out, they're working very hard to make the ride as comfortable as they can. And even the transit police, they show the other cheek. They're very nice. They don't try to be intrusive. They try to be helpful or at least non-eventful. And they're doing a great job. And I think they're more important than the teachers are. I don't give a crap about. The kids learn from their parents. They learn from television. They learn from each other.
I mean, we don't got to rank order. Everybody has the role to play in public life. So I don't think we got to say transit workers are number one, teachers are number two.
Working in New York City, they're number one.
Okay, let's say number one for the transit workers. Thank you, Harvey. I appreciate it. Here is Carrie in New Rochelle, New York. How you doing? You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, very good. Good evening, Peter. Very good program you have.
Thank you. Tell us quick, though. We're almost out of time.
Yes, speaking of, this monitoring of people, to understand, I'm talking about the eavesdropping.
Sure, the illegal, unconstitutional eavesdropping.
But,
yeah.
But to understand it, you have to go to the June 12th, 1994, New York Times Magazine story named The Battle of the Clipper Chip, and there's a segment that speaks about the dark art of cryptography.
Okay.
Now, whether people want to ever talk about it, then they won't know. But the whole story is in there.
Well, I don't think too many of us are going to be able to get to that, Kerry, but just in a, like 20 seconds, in two sentences, what does it say?
Well, it just tells you that there's an equation that on one side is law enforcement wanting tools, and had any of these acts of terrorism been prevented, there would not have been the demand for the tools, nor would there have been the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm.
And that came about in 1956. The World Wide Web was devised in 1992.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the rationales for it is that Cheney, who supports increased executive power, he really disliked what he saw was a diminishing of executive power under Nixon and some of the presidents that came after him. He says that this has prevented these illegal wiretaps without breaking the laws and violating the Constitution have prevented terror attacks. I mean, that's based on absolutely nothing. I mean, why didn't it... All right, I hear the music coming up. Sometimes, I don't know. Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby here with you. We're going to be right back with our third hour. Please join us. Stay with us.
On Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Uniting the mind, body, and spirit to promote peace, compassion, and respect for human dignity. That's the goal of Sit for Change, an international event promoting the practice of meditation as a force for social change. Go to sitforchange.org to learn how to support our partners like Amnesty International and Save the Children, charities focused on human rights, family, the environment, and the benefits of meditation. Join the Sit for Change Meditation Marathon, culminating on New Year's Eve Day. Change your mind, change the world. Visit sitforchange.org today.
The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
The president, after Plame was outed, he said that he was going to get to the bottom of this and find out what's happening. Now we know that Rove called and spoke to Matt Cooper and identified Valerie Plame. So did the president do his job and ask Rove if he knew anything about it when the president is telling the American people he's going to get to the bottom of this?
The Al Franken Show, weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1, streaming at themike921.com.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi, you can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Judy Scogan. I'm proud to be on the mic.
Streaming online at themike921.com. WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Divers still searching for the cockpit voice recorder from a vintage seaplane that crashed Monday near Miami.
We believe it's there. We just can't get to it right now. We will be able to get to it once we recover the aircraft and get inside the tail. That's normally where they are.
Mark Rosenker is acting chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. All 20 people aboard the seaplane died in the crash. A Midwest Airlines passenger jet with landing gear problems makes a safe landing Tuesday night at Boston's Logan International Airport. As the plane landed, sparks could be seen coming from an area around the right landing gear. A state judge has ruled the New York City transit workers' strike illegal and has ordered a fine of $1 million a day against the union. Union officials say they will appeal. More from CNN's Adora Udoji at New York's Penn Station.
The judge was referring to an earlier decision which called any potential strike illegal against state law. However, the union leaders say that they had absolutely no choice, that they had to strike because they were not being given a fair deal, and now they're going to have to deal with some huge monetary consequences.
Up to 7 million transit passengers were looking for alternate transportation Monday. Senators are debating a deficit reduction bill, but Democrat Tom Harkin calls it a tax cut for the rich bill.
And why are we doing this? Not for deficit reduction, but to provide tens of billions of dollars in tax giveaways for the wealthiest in our society.
A Senate vote on the bill looks to be so tight, Vice President Dick Cheney cut short an overseas trip to be present in case he's needed as a tiebreaker. A man the U.S. says killed a Navy diver during a hijacking is back in his native Lebanon following parole in Germany. The U.S. wants Beirut to extradite the man to stand trial, but the two countries have no formal extradition treaty. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Big Ed has Randy Rhodes, loud and left, here on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
In this country, the American people are treated in such a substandard way that we don't even know who killed Kennedy and what happened to Martin Luther King. Nobody knows. And I find this disgusting, because if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it.
Randy Rhodes, weekdays at 5 on the Mike 92.1 and the Mike92.1.com.
Good morning. I'm proposing to raise the budget. Americans expect government to spend in excess of spending limits. Budget limits serve as vague guidelines to be routinely violated. My budget increases deficit. My budget also focuses on our priorities at home. This year, we're devoting additional resources to our schools by providing drugs to students who complete a rigorous curriculum and biological attack. For students who are falling behind in reading and math, my budget is designed to meet both of these goals. Thank you for listening.
The White House says urgent action is needed to save the Patriot Act. Bob Constantini has more from Washington.
With controversial parts of the Patriot Act about to expire and the Senate looking to get out of town, White House spokesman Scott McClellan called for Democrats to halt their filibuster.
A minority of senators need to stop their delaying tactics and stop standing in the way of providing our law enforcement and intelligence community with the tools they need to protect us here at home.
The administration is even arguing the updated Patriot Act includes civil liberty safeguards that would not take effect if the measure dies. Bob Costantini, CNN, Washington.
The funeral of Stanley Tookie Williams lasted some 4 hours Tuesday in South Central Los Angeles. The crowd heard from celebrities who denounced capital punishment and California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who last week denied the convicted killer clemency. Many hit the ground because of what sounded like three gunshots about a block away. No injuries reported. This is CNN Radio. Parents needing a babysitter got some extra help in New Hampshire, Ed McCarthy explains.
Some parents in Atkinson, New Hampshire got some free time to shop for Christmas when the police said, send the kids over to the police station, we'll watch them. The idea came from the rank and file, according to Police Chief Philip Constantino.
It's tough to find a babysitter that they can take care of the kids, so we decided that who better to babysit the kids than the police department.
In fact, they'll do it again next year, more than a weekend.
I suppose they'd like it, but I think we're going to settle for doing it once a year.
The kids were treated to pizza, watched a movie, and made gifts. A good way to visit the police station. Ed McCarthy, CNN.
A new study finds recreational sports are on the decline, but interest in sports is increasing. Attendance is up at professional sporting events, but people are apparently less interested in participating in everything from golf to snow skiing. I'm Paul Chambers. This is CNN Radio.
It's the Pro Show. On Tuesday's Pro Show, we found out that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. If you're a peace activist in Madison, you're most likely on a list in Washington. Stoughton activist Buzz Davis joins Wednesday's Pro Show, and you know the government's watching this guy. Madison Alderman Austin King will talk about the mandatory sick leave proposal, and Darcy Haber from Wisconsin Citizen Action gets us involved in solutions.
The Pro Show with Lee Rayburn and Jim Dick. Mornings at 6 on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
Eating 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables a day is important, but it's sometimes easier said than done with children. A serving of 100% white grape juice is a healthy, convenient way for young children to get one of those 5 servings. And introducing 100% juice in the daycare and elementary school years is a great way to establish a lifelong pattern of healthy eating. A message from the Produce for Better Health Foundation and Welch's.
Now, Mike Malloy, winner of the 2005 Best Talk Show Air Award on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
Welcome to the third hour of the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you, sitting in, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. Taking your calls at 866-303-2270. If you'd like to email me, it's there for you. Call Talk Yes. CallTalkYes@yahoo.com. And we've been talking about a lot of things tonight. The transit strike in New York doesn't seem very popular. Certainly when that many people are inconvenienced by the withdrawal of labor, it's hard for people to kind of put aside their individual needs, like in other words, to get to work or get to the doctor, and realize there's some greater issues at work. The attack on the standards of compensation of the transit workers is very important to protect. There is a massive assault. There's class warfare being declared by the wealthy against the middle class and working class. And people have to stand up for this. The transit workers are doing this. And I don't know, can they withstand $1 million a day fine? What if they start putting those fines on the individual workers like they've talked about? And they may be on shaky grounds because the New York State law says public employees can't strike. In fact, the parent union, the Transit Workers Union, the TWU, is talking about putting the union in receivership and going back to bargain with the city just in negotiations. So we'll get your calls on that. 866-303-2270. Now, I was talking right at towards the end of the last hour about being friends with people that you don't agree with. I say I can't do it. I could not sit around and be pals with a conservative. And if you start moving farther to the right, real right-wingers. Now, they're personable very frequently, and I know people at work that are right-wing born-agains, and they give me a big smile, and I give them a big smile back. How's everything going? Good. How's your show going? Great. And all that. It would not occur to me to spend a moment's social time outside of work with them. I mean, when I think of the consequences of the policies that they support and the politicians that they support, it just doesn't allow me to do it. How about you? 866-303-2270. Let's go to Mike in Michigan. Mike, where are you in my home state?
Roseville.
Roseville? Hey, man. I'm just down the street from you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. We're broadcasting in Detroit, so I shouldn't say the radio station. But,
yeah, I heard you mention that. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, let's not go there. Go ahead.
About an hour ago, you mentioned the Iraqi war was all about oil.
I said it was about a lot of things. It was the main thrust of it was control of oil, yeah.
Okay, I agree with you on that. Do you know if an American company ever owned oil fields in Iraq?
Well, I don't know what they did previous, but under the Saddam Constitution, that foreign companies, in other words, foreign capital was not allowed into Iraq and foreign profits could not be taken out. One of the first things that Paul Bremer did, I don't know if it was one of the first things, but one of the things that Paul Bremer, who was head of the provisional, what was it called, the ruling authority that the U.S. set up, was to repeal that Iraqi constitutional provision. So now there can be foreign investment, read American oil companies, that can go in there and send profits out.
And that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, what?
Oh, my God. Well, I agree with you 99.99%.
I don't even know if I agree with you. Yeah, you're right. This is a long-standing strategy for these neoconservatives, and they've been advocating this for a long time. I mean, the real solution would be to get off of the oil addiction. Oil, you have to remember, is poisonous, toxic at every point of its production and shipping, and I'm taking this out of order, refining, but pumping, and even when it goes into our cars and we burn it. And it has to be supported by endless wars and endless American intervention in the Middle East. We got to get out of there.
You know, if you consider technology as a living, growing thing,
yeah,
it always has to advance. Well, all the advancements that we've been making in technology aren't being used. So, yeah. Of course, our economy's going stagnant and stuff.
There you go. Hey, thanks for calling in from Roseville, Michigan. Appreciate it. Let's go out to Eugene, Oregon, and talk to, let me get this name, Patricia. Patricia, you knew Truman Capote?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had our guest saying he wasn't portrayed as a very nice person.
Well, you know, I can imagine that anyone who doesn't feel comfortable can slip into a mode of, you know, crankiness or arrogance or something like that. But I was one time at a party where he was, and I was afraid to meet him because of his mannerisms and his voice. I thought I was sincerely afraid that I would laugh at him, and I didn't want to
okay.
do that.
No, that'd be kind of rude.
So, I know. So I really resisted that, and then this woman just dragged me over there and introduced me. This was at the time, I guess, when he was just investigating, and I guess the book was already out.
You mean In Cold Blood?
Yeah, and
Where city? Where were you?
I was in Lawrence, Kansas, going to the school.
Oh.
University of Kansas.
Oh.
And I worked for some people who, you know, were very wealthy in the town and very social, and they had a party for Truman Capote when he came to town, and they were very good friends with the man Al Dewey, who was the FBI agent somewhere, wherever it was that this happened. I can't remember.
Where the murders happened, yeah.
Right. And in fact, I just met his son this past year. He lives over on the coast, and he just out of the blue wrote me an email and said, I'd like to get to know you, because he saw my picture in an ad. And so we talked a little bit about it.
Wait a minute, how did he see your photograph in an ad?
Well,
or is this too long a story?
Well, I'm a hypnotherapist,
oh.
So I have ads and, you know, in magazines and newspapers and things. So anyway, we talked about it, and he had absolutely nothing bad to say about Capote. And then when I met Capote, it was totally unlike what I thought it would be like. I was afraid, you know, like I said, that I would laugh. But it was as if he just drew me in with this incredible warmth.
Mm-hmm.
And was just so kind.
Have you seen the movie?
I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah, well, that ought to be interesting to see whether that...
I saw a trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be.
Patricia, can you hypnotize me on the phone?
Well, the joke is that we're already all hypnotized. We're in a trance.
Yeah.
We live in a trance.
Yeah, you're right.
We believe that we are human beings on a planet Earth. And
we believe that everything's going to be okay.
And we believe that everything's going to be terrible, and so we're all scared.
Yeah.
So we do things like, you know,
fear rules, and then we have these politicians that manipulate that all
really
to make us even more fearful. Thank you, Patricia.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Here is Nathan in Wichita, Kansas. Nathan, hi, it's Peter Werby sitting in for Mike Malloy.
Hi, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Good. I would consider myself, being from Wichita, Kansas, the Bible Belt.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, conservative Republican. Ironically, though, I'm about ready to propose to a liberal Democrat that I love and adore.
That's good.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And the ironic thing with it, and the reason why I wanted to call, it might be a little bit off the subject, is that over the past 3.5 years, I've learned quite a bit from her. And vice versa, I think, from me, that she's learned. And my subject tonight is basically that, you know, listening to the Mike Malloy, which has been, I listen to Air America because I try and find both sides of the subject. Maybe I'm more of an independent, if you want to call that. But I listen to Air America as well as the O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh's and all that kind of stuff. And then I try and find the facts on my own on the internet and decide for myself.
No,
what
that's
I
a good
believe
idea.
In.
That works.
And yeah, absolutely. And, what I've kind of found was, and with listening to Mike Malloy filling in, because I'm normally not up this late, I understand that you're filling in for him, but since he's been with Randy Rhodes and stuff like that, I listened to him today, is that I think on both sides, I see an overwhelming, almost, like everybody wants to attack each other, you know, and maybe not deal with the actual issues. And I'm talking about both Democratic and Republican people.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I have plenty of Democratic friends who consider themselves even far left liberals, and I have plenty of far right, you know, conservatives. And the thing that really concerns me is that it seems like issues aren't being taken care of on either side.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I naturally think that they're being taken care of it on the left side. You know, well, here, you probably think me awful, Nathan, but I consider, I mean, if I was single and I was going to go out with a woman and she told me she was a Republican or a conservative, I'd say, man, this woman has a character flaw. I don't want to go out with her. Got to go, though. Got to take a break. Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby in for Mike. 866-303-2270. Can you deal with those differences politically, philosophically? I can't.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More than news.
Hear from the people who made the news. The Pro Show. Mornings on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
This is Sally Field for Save the Children. We've all seen the devastation the hurricanes have wrought. Now imagine how we can make it better. Imagine all the children from the hurricanes feeling safe again.
Imagine all the children back with their families again.
Imagine all the children going to school again.
Please help us create lasting change for children here at home and around the world. Call 1-800-SAVE-THE-CHILDREN or visit SaveTheChildren.org.
Imagine we can save the children.
Imagine.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
Just because you set a date doesn't mean that you have to hit it, but that is the goal, and it's a message to the Iraqi people. We've got to fish or cut bait on this deal. I think it's workable. I think it's somewhat of an olive branch from the Democrats to the administration to say, look, we'll help you get there, but the American people aren't with you on this.
Straight Talk is progressive talk. Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1.
There's only one thing more destructive than a typical male right-wing pundit. A typical female right-wing pundit. So Ring of Fire salutes the dedicated women who succeeded in the male-dominated field of mean-spirited commentary on today's Triumph of the Shrill. This week, Ann Coulter. The woman so powerful that she single-handedly destroyed Paula Jones. Coulter grew up in Connecticut, where she became popular with her school chums through her infectious sense of humor.
Mommy says you're going to hell. Now give me your lunch money. Stop crying. Can't you take a joke?
It only got better from there. She became a lawyer, then a commentator. Suddenly, liberals hated her. How could that be, when all she ever wanted to do was bring America together?
Liberals hate America. They hate flag wavers. They hate abortion opponents. They hate all religions except Islam post 9/11. Even Islamic terrorists don't hate America like liberals do. Hey, I'm funny. Just like Dave Barry, right?
Then she joined Paula Jones' case against President Bill Clinton. One lawyer said Jones didn't have a case and should take a settlement. But Coulter made sure she didn't.
We were terrified that Jones would settle. It was contrary to our purpose of bringing down the president.
$700,000 in legal bills later, a judge told Jones...
You don't have a case. You should take a settlement.
Jones went broke. Coulter made a small fortune writing a book about it and called Jones... What were Coulter's exact words again?
Trailer park trash.
That's it. Now, after making a career out of trying to bring down a president, she accuses liberals of trying to bring down another president.
It would be a much better country if women did not vote. I'm all for public flogging. Republicans don't have any money. You're all traitors. Why isn't anybody looking at me? I'm funny. Look over here.
Yes, Ann Coulter has helped invent a new kind of national dialogue. The kind of dialogue in which we're not actually talking to each other. For that, Ann Coulter is today's triumph of the shrill.
Stupid, stupid, infinity times stupid. Shut up!
Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic 92.1.
This is Stephanie Miller. Go to themic921.com. Get involved and listen live to The Mic.
And now, back to Peter Werby on The Mike Molloy Show.
Thank you, Mike. 866-303-2270. We're talking about everything under the sun, or I guess under the moon. Right? But one of the things we're talking about is relationships with people that hold differing political opinions or philosophies. Personally, I can't even hang out with them. The idea of having a close, intimate relationship with someone who is a conservative or a right-winger, I can't handle it. In fact, I consider people that have conservative and right-wing views sort of a psychopathology. So, I mean, I couldn't hang with them. Couldn't hang with them. Hey, Frederick sent this in to me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. But you know, I know some of you do. I know some of you are married to right-wingers and go out with them and have friends with them, but not me. Anyways, he says, someone yesterday gave this number where you could call Congress. And I think it, he says, instead of a long number like that, simply give out this number. 1-877-SOB. You can say it like this. 1-877-SOB. He says, no, I'm not kidding. That will take you directly to the Capitol Hill switchboard to contact your senators or representatives. So it's 877-SOB-USOB. Or 762-8762. Now, I've been trying it on and off all day, and I get a busy tone every time I try it. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. He says, funny, that's exactly what most of them are, but that's the number. No way to verify that. You remember there used to be, geez, was that like as far back as in the 80s? People would have these bumper stickers that say, don't like my driving, dial 1-800-EAT-SH. You know, I won't do the other letters. 1-800-EAT, you know, shh. Like that. And then and I remember when I called it, it could have been 15 years or more ago that I called it, and somebody, so I mean, this, it was just an obnoxious bumper sticker that told somebody, you don't like my driving, too bad. But somebody had the wherewithal to list that number and put in a phone sex service. So I said, man, I haven't called that in 15 years. I just called it phone sex. So if you call 1-800-EAT-SH with four letters in it, you get phone sex. You got to pay for it. I didn't pay for it. But anybody know anything about this? 1-877-SOB-USOB that gets you right to the Capitol Hill switchboard. I don't know. All right, let me switch screens here, and we'll go to Rob is in Michigan as well. Rob, hi, it's Peter Werby, and you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Well, about the strike, I'd like to comment that it is an absolute shame, and it's disgusting that New Yorkers aren't joining in the strike, because what we need in this country is a general strike.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
There's not a chance in the world that conventional political activity is going to straighten this country out. All we have to do is look to the South American experience. We can see there that when people have gotten fed up with corrupt regimes, they have driven them out, Peter, with general strikes. And
sure,
that is what we're going to have to do here. And if Americans can't do that, then their kids are going to live as slaves. Remember, let's take a phrase from the 60s. The whole world is watching.
Mm-hmm.
As Americans allow themselves to slip into a fascist dictatorship, and they can't even, millions will attend football games, but they cannot work together to improve, make real improvements in their rights and to protect their own constitution. Isn't it pathetic? I'm hoping people straighten out, but they've got to really get radical.
Well, I think so, and I mean, the problems are radical, and the solution may have to be as well. I mean, I don't know that, let me just go back to the whole idea of a general strike. Something that the old industrial workers of the world put forth 100 years ago. In fact, it is the 100th anniversary of the IWW. In fact, you can go to IWW.org. They're still around. They're not quite what they were in the aught-eights and the 1914s and what have you, but they're still there, and they're putting forth the idea of a concerted labor effort. Let's put it in not as in such emotive terms. But still, if all of the unions in New York, rather than sitting back and letting the transit workers took the heat, saying, hey, we're out of here too, Bloomberg, settle up on terms that are fair and decent and protect our standard of living, man, that strike would be over tomorrow.
Peter, can I say something about the fines?
Sure.
I have never understood why, when faced with fines, unions do not reply back to the government. Then we fine you $1 million per day for every member of our union who is penalized, and you will pay that money. You will pay that money, and you will set aside any fines against us, or we don't settle. We don't settle the strike. That's how to deal with these fines that they like to slap on people. And may I say one thing about the oil? Yeah, replacing oil is great, but there's one thing that advocates of alternative energies constantly forget when they discuss it, and that has to do with the fact that pricing oil in dollars has been a huge subsidy to the United States. Maybe there's not enough time for me to explain how it works, but
no, you're right. You're right. In fact, some people say that what sealed Saddam Hussein's fate was that he made a move towards beginning to trade in petro euros dollars, man, he was gone. Hey, Rob, where are you calling from in my home state?
Near Detroit.
Okay, that's good. Got to move on. So, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Let's go to Steve. Steve, we got to let you hang for just a minute because we got to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll get Steve from Springfield, Massachusetts. Wants to talk about relationships with the Republicans. Can you do it if you're on the other side of things? I can't. Can you?
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Recovering neocons, our arms are open to you. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
What's your idea of good news? How about being on a free cruise with your friends and family? Aleve, the pain reliever devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis, is offering you the chance to win a 7-night cruise for four on a luxury ship. Visit AleveGoodNews.com. To enter. While you're there, read all the good news Aleve users shared with us, and maybe you can share some of yours, like winning a free cruise, for example. Visit AleveGoodNews.com.
No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry info, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 13106. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
She's fed up with the right.
Aren't you?
The Randy Rhoads Show, here on the mic, 92.1.
You know what this war has cost us? You know, remember there was some talk last week. They were actually saying this out loud, and I actually repeated it, even though I deep down in my back of my brain, I knew this wasn't right, but I just didn't have the information in front of me to say it any differently than what everyone else was saying, so I said, all right, fine. They were telling you that they were going to ask for a $3 billion supplement for Iraq over and above the $550 billion for defense spending that Congress needed to appropriate. Remember that? Well, I said the $3 billion number, and as I was saying, I kept thinking to myself, that's not right. That's the wrong number. It's over $50 billion. The supplemental for Iraq is over $50 billion. I know it. I can't remember where I were. Well, today they asked. $100 billion. Grand total for the war in Iraq thus far, $500 trillion. That's 12 zeros, people. You know what that is? That's $1,000 billion, and a billion is 1,000,000. Hello. I quit math when you get to that number. You know what I mean? I just forget it. Leave me. That's how much it's cost us so far. $500 trillion. $500 billion. For 500 billion, for $500 trillion, we could have bought Iraq. Seriously, we could have purchased it. It's $20,000 for everyone who lives there, which is enough to put every one of them through college. Do you understand that? $500 trillion. This is really true, and it really does come to about $20,000 for every single person in Iraq. We could have just announced 2 years ago, if you get rid of Saddam Hussein, we'll give everybody in the country $20,000.
Randy Rhodes, loud and left, here on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
Hey, kept asking, where is Saddam Hussein? And one guy, Mr. Khalid, 34-year-old, married father of four, worked in a grocery store. And they're asking him, where's the weapons of mass destruction? It would be like asking me, where is Dick Cheney's secret bunker? I don't know.
Randy Rhodes.
There's bagels in the kitchen, though. Let's eat.
Weekdays at 5 on the Mike 92.1 and the Mike921.com.
We take you now to the White House press room, where a news conference with President George W. Bush is in progress.
Mr. President, do you think the indictment of Tom DeLay has undermined Republican credibility?
Well, let me tell you this. On September 11th, terrorists attacked our nation. They hate your freedom. They want to enslave your women. Now, maybe you don't want to protect your women. That's your choice as an American.
Sir, are you just using scare tactics to avoid answering me?
No, I'm just a man who's busy declaring a code red security alert because we could all die at any moment. And next question.
Mr. President, many people think the exposure of Valerie Plame as a CIA agent showed your administration values politics over national security. Would you care to comment?
Well, let me ask you this. That little black spot on your hand, do you think that's cancer?
This? It's an ink stain.
Could be cancer.
No. See, it rubs right off.
Cancer rubs off.
What?
Next question.
Mr. President!
As the war in Iraq drags on, it's begun to look like a distraction from the hunt for Osama bin Laden. Do you think popular support for the Iraq war might return?
We will remain in Iraq until... Hey, look out behind you. There's a bear.
Mr. President, I'm not going to turn around. You'll just run out of the building. You end every press conference the same way.
No, I'm serious. Turn around. The bear, I'm tired. I'm leaving.
This has been a White House press conference with President George W. Bush. Progressive Talk from East Coast to West Coast. Air America, Stephanie Miller, and Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike, 92.1.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werbe sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Thank you, Mike Malloy. Peter Werbe here in Detroit, Michigan, looking at everything out there just like you are. Thanks for joining us. Our phone number is 866-303-2270. Some relevant emails here. Mark in New York City says he just turned off Fox News in New York. He said they've slugged their coverage of the strike, illegal strike. That's what the graphic says. So when you're looking at it, you know, that's what's at the bottom or the top. Illegal strike. He says, looks like fair and balanced really means taking sides. They are just the lowest. They are, Mark, my advice, turn them off. Don't look at them. They're not worth it. Cindy writes in, 1-800, actually it's not 1-800, it's 1-877-SOB-USOB, stands for the Capitol, stands for Senate Office Building, Senate Office Building. And she says it works, but let's see, a listener writes in, I believe they disabled that number a while back, it's always busy now. when Tom Hartman announced that number sometime last summer. It did work. I think they finally caught on. Tom Hartman sitting in this week for the majority report right before this program. And finally, one of the things that we're talking about is whether it's possible to have relationships cross, what would you call it, cross-philosophy relationships. Can you hang with a right-winger, either as a friend or as like a life partner? I'm saying I can't. I consider conservatism a character flaw, some problem. Anyway, they say no names, please, but from Syracuse, New York, last year, a one-time friend from my teenage years contacted me. He was a Goldwaterite in the 60s. He's a Bushy today, even though he's a very nice person, with a wife and kids and grandkids. Try as I might, I cannot overlook or overcome his hideous politics, so I'm telling him to have a nice life. Leave me out of it. So now that's weird. I mean, we always talk about we on the left being the people that advocate tolerance. And I am tolerant. I just don't want to be friends with these people. One thing, I have enough friends. I don't want one that has policies that I think that really hurts people and really hurts the planet. But you tell me what you think. 866-303-2270. Here's Ken in Texas. Ken, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hi, guy.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, I'm listening with fascination every time I come back in the country. I work overseas a lot. You know, I've been in 50 countries, lived there, and probably been in about 100.
Really?
I'm a drilling engineer, petroleum engineer, so I always find the conversations on oil somewhat intriguing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the thing that's interesting is, I mean, I have to tell you, I mean, I'm definitely in your side of the world.
Okay.
Politically. And I come back into the U.S., and you can feel the anger. From the time you get off the plane, it's almost overwhelming. It's just the most amazing sensation. But going along with a couple of, I mean, so much is mentioned, but, you know, a couple of things that you said, can you be friends with a Republican? One thing I found when doing disaster relief down here was that the numbers of people that came out were absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not expect that. I'd never seen that much giving in this country. In spite of the words, I mean, people in this country seem to like to say the words. They like to feel good about the words they're saying and not really do anything to back it up. But, you know, down at the Brown or some of the other places, I mean, you have people from every background down there.
I think when disaster strikes, sure, a lot of that is overcome. You know, that is interesting that your perception about what happens when you arrive in this country. You know, I'm about 5 or 6 miles from a foreign country, Canada.
Yeah.
And it's almost palpable. You can almost feel the tension ease up. And that people are just aren't on edge the way they are in this country.
Oh, it's sad, too, you know, when you go across the board. I mean, immediately it's cleaner, for one thing.
Yeah.
But, I hate to say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a book I thought I'd mention. It's quite an excellent book that no one's ever heard of, probably. But A Sunday Between Wars. It's The Course of American Life from 1865 to 1917. It was written by a man named Ben Maddow in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's describing how this political regime is taking back the economics to that period of time. It's almost exactly that way, to the advent of labor unions, the difficulties people had to try and first get organized. And it's like this strike, it might be ugly and they might call it illegal, but I mean, by God, it has to be done. And there's going to be more of them coming from the people I've spoken with in different industries.
Well, I think so.
It's the only weapon that they have left.
Yeah, well, I think that the people that run things here and run it undemocratically feel we just roll over. And we have rolled over. We've rolled over for a generation almost as our rights and our standard of living and our productivity goes up and our income remains the same.
Well,
and
maybe you can explain something to me.
Sure.
I don't think you're as old as I am, but I was on the streets against Nixon in Vietnam. You know, the people that are allowing this to happen were on the streets at that time. I have no clue what happened to them. I think they owe Nixon an apology if they're not doing everything to get Bush out.
You know what, Ken? When I go to anti-war demonstrations, anybody's listening. In fact, I know people are listening in Detroit, and there's going to be an anti-war demonstration on the corner of Woodward and 11 Mile Road in Royal Oak. So I hope to see a lot of you there. But the crowd is from the 60s. There are a lot of gray heads there,
yeah.
A lot of older people that, as we used to say, because I was there as well, keep the faith.
Yeah.
So they're there. Okay, Ken, I should move on. I've got a lot of people waiting. Thank you so. And, wow, 100 countries. 100 countries pumping oil. Here's Steve in Springfield, Massachusetts. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I thought you forgot about me. I'm just with you 100%. I was telling you, screener. You know, it first started, I just couldn't stand anyone who just had ever voted for Bush. There actually is one person in my life who voted for Bush in 2000, and I've forgiven him. The only person, anyone else that had been in my life, I won't even speak to them. But now it's getting to where I won't speak to people who have ever been right of center, Republican, and I'm even getting to the point where I just want to vomit at the sight of most of my fellow countrymen as I go about my day and just see them barreling into a parking lot in a GMC Yukon and just going about their lives in their aggressive yet apathetic manner. I'm just utterly disgusted by my fellow countrymen until such time as I become acquainted with someone and can specifically find out that they are resistant in mm-hmm. some way, that they at least speak out, that they at least share ideas of mine. And I think,
you know, the channels aren't easily there. I mean, what dissent, let alone resistance or organizing for great change, those institutions, those agencies,
I'm somebody, you know, I'm somebody who speaks to supermarket checkers and bank tellers and sounds off about it. And I am sick and tired of the silence in this country. Get out there and sound off.
I agree. You know, I sometimes don't even like to do it because I bring attention to myself, but I usually wear a pin that says stop the war, and people always kind of look at it, and I mean, most people don't have pins on, so that makes me appear as kind of a weirdo, but hey, I am, so I'm willing to accept that. I have a lawn sign, an anti-war lawn sign on my lawn, but the suburbs that I live in the Detroit area, there's anti-war lawn signs, anti-Bush lawn signs that are remaining.
Oh,
I mean,
great.
They weren't, yeah, so you can walk around. And my wife and I, and our dog, neither of which am I allowed to name.
I see nothing. But
wait. We go from like through a working class suburb to a middle class suburb to a real upscale suburb, and so many of the people have anti-war signs, and they have W's with lines through them, and signs saying "Bring the troops home." It's a good place to live.
So, do you think that's the issue to unite under? Because I think it might be the issue that's dividing us. I think that the class warfare is the issue to unite under.
Well, I do too. Because
one class certainly has united and has had great success.
Yeah, there is class war going on, and it's been going on. Well, it's been going on forever, but it's been going on with only one side fighting, and that's the 1%, the 10% that run everything.
Uh huh.
So we've got to start. We've got to start taking. Into account our own interests.
Yeah, I'm glad you say you see what you see where you live. Where I live, I see a lot of working, praying, and obeying. And that's all I see. And
we don't do that in our Detroit suburbs.
Well, that's great. I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing, if you'll let me.
Sure.
I think even if you're questioning your social relations about their, you know, to assess them as to whether you want to be friendly, I think it's time for leftists to start questioning the business. Businesses. They do business.
Well, I agree. Let me just go back to show people that that I'm serious, and probably you would agree. Most all women know, and all men know, that guys are crazy for like real good looking women. But if I was single and I met a real good looking woman and we were just getting along, and all of a sudden she started telling me that she was a conservative or a right winger. That the appeal level would go from like 100% to zero.
I totally hear what
in
you're
a
saying.
Second. All right, Steve, thank you very much for joining us here. Let's go to David in Michigan. David, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you right now. I'm calling you from Muskegon, Michigan.
Oh,
And I remember you. What I'm thinking right now, do you remember the song called The Monster?
You mean...
by Steppenwolf from 1969?
Oh, man. Yeah.
WABX played it, and if I remember correctly, you worked back at that time at ABX.
I did. David, hold on. We'll talk more about this because we have our music coming up. I thought they were starting to play Monster. It's not The Monster. It's just called Monster by Steppenwolf. It's about 8 minutes long. It's an incredible song. All right, we'll be right back in the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you. 866-303-2270.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When we say clear skies, we mean no pollution. This is the Mike 92.1.
This is your Mother Jones Minute. Here's Mother Jones publisher, Jay Harris.
They say this is the season for giving, but let's unwrap that idea. According to the latest Mother Jones, two-thirds of American households say they give to charity, but the IRS says only one-third report any donations on their taxes. What gives? Maybe we're busy spending on other things. Americans shell out about $8 billion every year on Christmas decorations. That's four times what we give to protect the environment. And when we do give, check out where the money goes. Campus Crusade for Christ raised $380 million last year. That's more than PBS, Easter Seals, and the Boy Scouts combined. One great thing about the season for giving, it comes every year. This year, let's get it right.
For the best investigative reporting and news, visit MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Hi, this is Air America's Al Franken.
Hi, it's Randy Rose.
This is Mike Malloy.
We want to say thanks to everybody who makes this community possible. The advertisers who are committed to getting their message to a thinking, reality-based audience. The staff that keeps the shows on the air every day. And especially thanks to you for listening to and supporting America's only progressive talk network.
Happy holidays from all of us at Air America Radio.
On Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike, 92.1.
State District Judge Bob Perkins said the delay, one of numerous defendants that's scheduled to go before him on Friday, will be asked to designate for the record the names of his attorneys. Perkins believes that if God was charged with a felony, he would have to go through the booking process, too, said a court spokesman. While delay's court appearance will be in Austin, he also has the option of turning himself in to authorities. I just like reading it. Okay. Travis County allows some defendants to do a walkthrough booking process in which the defendant is photographed and fingerprint, but DeLay's bond amount would be preset so he could immediately pay it and avoid a stay in jail. Rats. DeLay could also waive going before a magistrate to have his rights and charges read to him. Oh, I want to hear that part. You have the right to shut your giant ethically challenged blowhole. You have the right to pick whose bitch you're going to be in the big house. I don't think that's going to go well in court.
I'm not going to tell you the names of my attorneys. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to do a walkthrough booking process, neither. But listen, mother. You want a piece of me? You have the right to kiss my ass.
I wonder if he'll bring up Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson again.
Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
Clark.
I think he might have had a dry heave somewhere in there.
Maybe he'll do his little lesson on terrorism again. That was one of my personal favorites.
Yeah. Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11. In the effects in the attacks and prepared for war.
How's my breath?
Liberals saw the savagery of 9/11
smell
attacks
my breath.
And wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapeutic understanding for our attackers. That's not slander. That's the truth.
Truth.
I mean, slandered. He's probably going to be the only defendant on money laundering charges that is actually has to take a breathalyzer before he and has to walk a line. Nobody help me!
Sure, she's an old bag, but she's also the senior senator. As well as the senior citizen.
You guys are brutal.
After four tries, you got to give up. You know who she is! What are you looking at?
favorite show is Randy Rhodes because in a time of insanity, she is the voice of reason.
Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike, 92.1.
And now, back to Peter Werby on The Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Mike. Mike off on vacation. Not on vacation at all. What am I saying? He's substituting for Randy Rhodes. And I'll be doing a show tomorrow, and then he will be back on Thursday, and I think there's a best of on Friday. We're talking about a number of things about can you be friends, can you have relationships with right-wingers. Me, I'm saying I can't. Let's go back to David. He's in Muskegon, Michigan. He remembers me when I was a DJ on WABX. He's mentioning the song, song by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
No, Steppenwolf.
Called
Monster.
Monster, is it Steppenwolf?
Yep, that was 1969.
Oh, you're right. No wonder. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. You're more with it than I am. And
well,
here I used to be a rock and roll DJ.
Yes, I remember because you worked with Dave Dixon and all of them.
I did indeed.
And I don't know what happened to those folks.
Well, go ahead. On a nationally syndicated show, it probably doesn't make any sense to tell you, bring you up to speed on. Send me an email at calltalkyes@yahoo.com.
I was going to make some parallels, though, if it's all right.
Sure.
Between Johnson, you know, because that song reminded me, because we are against a monster in Bush right now. The same thing happened, weapons of mass destruction. If you remember, that was the reason we went into Iraq. Why did we go into Vietnam? Wasn't it the Gulf of Tonkin resolution?
Sure, that was another lie. Another war based on a lie that produced a mountain of corpses, just like this one.
That's right, and people don't realize the road that we're heading down because it don't seem like a lot of people are aware because the media is dumbing everything down so that basically we're heading down the same road as if you remember Chile back in 73 through the CIA with Nixon, how
Kissinger,
a democratically elected government was overthrown.
Sure.
We're going right down that road right now.
Well, I wonder if we can do the same thing in Latin America. Right now, 300 million of the 365 million people in Latin America are have elected left-wing governments, and they may do the same thing in Mexico. Hey, David, thanks a lot. Stay tuned and listen up on your radio, and we'll mention a little about the lyrics. Monster, yeah, by Steppenwolf. Am I an idiot? Wasn't Creedence. Anyways, if you just put into Google, as I just did, Monster Steppenwolf lyrics, you'll get them. And boy, they are rad. All these once the religious, the hunted and weary, chasing the promise of freedom and hope, came to this country to build a new vision, far from the reaches of kingdom and pope. Like good Christians, some would burn the witches, later some got slaves to gather riches. This is a rock and roll song, folks. But still from the near and far to seek America, they came by the thousands to court the wild, and she just patiently smiled and bore a child to their spirit and guiding light. Well, it goes on with extraordinarily pointed lyrics. Anyways, let's continue on. Let me do this. Let me take some of these out of order, dear Dee and Jason. Let me go to Mary in Memphis. Mary, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
You hate conservatives?
I cannot tolerate to be in the same room and listen to a bigoted conversation because that is self-defeating.
Yeah.
And both my senators are Bill Frist and Lamar Alexander.
Ooh.
I have yet to hear any response when I call, when I send a letter, or anything else. It's like they're the three monkeys, you know? Hear no evil.
Yeah.
But the quickest way to turn a conservative into a reasonable person is when their job is outsourced, and that has happened to several that they have become very mellow, you know?
Well, that's good. Some of them are still so dumb that even after their job goes out of the country, they're still saying, well, I still think that George W. Bush is the greatest president. Thank you, Mary. Thanks for joining us. Let's stay south. Let's go to Atlanta and talk to Nikki. Nikki, hi. It's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I so have enjoyed this whole evening with Mike and Tom and you.
Well, isn't it, what a great lineup.
I tell you, it's been fabulous. I love Air America.
Thank you so much.
Well, listen, I do have a couple of friends that are very right-winged,
mm-hmm.
and I've just found that the only way I can be friends with them is it's kind of a lopsided friendship.
Okay.
Because can you imagine an elephant in the living room, and the friends are all there. The elephant poops. I say, my God, look at what this elephant has done. It's pooping. And they say, oh, we don't talk poop politics.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't do it in the house, right?
Yes, and that's the only way I've stayed friends with them. But I have a lot of other friends that are evolving, and I think that's what it is. Conservatives are stepping backwards and want humanity continually to step backwards. But liberals, and I breathe as a liberal, evolves and moves forward.
Thank you, Nikki. Appreciate it. One of the important things, of course, how do you get along with your family if you've got political disputes? Audrey in Chicago, how do you do it? Audrey, are you with me?
Yes, I am. I am. Are you with? Am I on?
You're on the air. Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I love my mom to pieces. She's like a mega Republican. She voted for Goldwater in '64, and that was a big thing in middle of Daly Town, Chicago, back in the '60s.
Sure.
We have a lot of debates about, you know, the culture wars and stuff like that. But you know, one of the things that I think kind of got my mom towards, you know, respecting me is some of the things I've done in my personal life, that I've walked the talk. And if you can really do that, I think that's the first step, I think, in developing, you know, a bridge to someone who may not have the same views as you do. And that's what I did with my mom.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's really tears apart some families. And some families do have rules, you know, no talking about politics in the house. And I think I could go for that, and although I know people, for instance, that won't talk to their brothers or to their sisters because they have conservative views. Audrey, the show's at an end. Thank you for being our last caller. I don't know if we've solved this. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about it. I'll be back tomorrow on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
On Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Hi, it's Al Franken. I've been proud to support the USO for years, and I'm away on my third USO tour right now. And a lot of you have asked what you can do to help. Please support the USO's Operation Phone Home, providing prepaid international calling cards to members of our forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. Call 1-800-USO-7469. Thank you.
This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
College, one small word that can add up to big bucks.
Dallas Salisbury is CEO of the